Hello and welcome to the Computer Game Show. My name's David Turner and I'm here with James Farley.
Hey, hi.
What was that?
Nice. I was expecting
Did
to
we
be
just
first.
Cut you out, James?
Yeah, because I was expecting to be first.
Okay, Matt Murray.
Hello.
Back in town. And Sean Bell.
Hello.
You all right, Matt? How you feeling, man?
I've just finished my course of antibiotics today. Mouth is okay.
Oh, yeah.
Probably going to lose
Did
a tooth.
Did it make your willy go funny?
How
is that where the infection was?
Every time I have antibiotics, it makes my willy go funny.
When you say go funny,
you need
Dave.
More detail.
I don't need more detail. No one needs to hear that.
Nope, willy's fine.
Yeah, good. Just making sure. I'm just looking out for my friend, Matt Murray.
Willy's fine.
How's your willy, James? Okay, we'd like to start the show by thanking our Patreon producers this month. They are Aaron Patrick, Simon Nelson, Tom S., Jack Oven, Moomin Biscuit, Richard Sawyer, Dave Ernsberger, Colin Brown, Gazman, and Gabby Pereira. They are the Full Nels crew, and we love them. If you would like to go Full Nels, or if you want to support us on the various different tiers we have over at Patreon, it's patreon.com/TCGS. I've just remembered I wanted to talk to you guys about what we were doing for our Patreon people this month in terms of bonus shows and talks over just before we started recording, and then I forgot. So
you have to remind me after. We've pretty much committed to doing a quiz again this month, haven't we?
Okay, yeah, we'll do In the Quizzing again this month. So if you want to see that live, what tier did I sign up to, Matt?
The £8.50 tier.
Plus local tax.
VAT, Jesus. Maybe this is for the future. But I had a couple of ideas while I was doing the washing up, boys. And you know that's when I get my best ideas, when I'm doing that washing up. Like, today I was thinking I'm going to ask about James's willy, but he's destroyed that. He has absolutely destroyed that. Right, should we get onto the feedback this week? What is going on? What's going on?
He was pulled off his chair by the weight of his massive dong.
Can I just say, so far, he started off by going, James Farley, what? Me on the podcast? Then completely shutting down when I mention something I mention every week on the show. It just completely shuts down now. That's the most infuriating thing,
what are you
James.
Talking about?
Don't do that anymore.
What?
Don't do that. When I asked about your willy and you just went,
yeah, I may not have heard that. The reason is because, you know, earlier on, there was a bit of weirdness.
I'm familiar with earlier on.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
It's because I just spilt beer all over my table. And the reason why I probably didn't respond is because I was actually frantically trying to get tissues to tidy it up. And then what just happened is because I tried to do it too quickly, there was a whole bunch of books that were balanced on something behind me, and they all just fell down. So that's what that was about.
Oh, my God.
I wish this was a video. Podcast.
It's a fictional
Matt,
character. There's no other explanation
Matt,
for it.
Matt, sure, come here a minute.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think that James has felt that he's like losing the edge a little bit, you know? He's becoming a bit stale. His like usual persona is becoming a bit boring now. Do you reckon he's going for like a slapstick wacky vibe to try and revitalize his podcasting career? Because I think he is.
Yeah.
This is the angle he's
in
taking.
In the middle of the show, he's going to step on a rake, isn't he?
For starters, he's never drunk beer during a show. That's weird. I mean, he's
Dave,
drunk
I sent you a picture. I sent you a picture just before we started recording. Like, didn't you see it?
Why would you do that?
Because it had an office gag attached to it. That's why.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't see that. Mm. But what is this about stacked up books and stuff? What?
Oh, look, it's just a nightmare. It's the lockdown, isn't it? There's just books everywhere and just it's horrible.
Yeah, that's a problem everyone's had during COVID. Oh, just books just piling up.
Did you see?
Yeah, look at all these books I've written.
I'm sick of it.
Oh, no.
Did you see the government briefing today?
No.
Look, we know times are tough at the moment. And we will get through this. We fully understand about how many books you've got stacking up at the moment. And we're looking to do something about that. Laura Koosberg comes in and goes, about these books that stop it. Well, we've already addressed that, Laura. You keep bringing up points that we've addressed.
I've got a funny book story. Does anyone want to hear it?
Go on. Absolutely not.
I was in a Teams meeting at work today when a book arrived from Amazon.com. So I didn't answer the door. So he threw it over the gate at the back and Mara had done a shit in the yard this morning and I hadn't bothered to clean it up, and the book landed right in the shit, and that's the end of my book story.
Well, I guarantee that's coming up in tomorrow's government briefing. And we've heard lots about books now being covered in shit, yeah. Boris.
People have got so many books that now inevitably some of them have got shit on them. It's just unavoidable.
That's the question that Wade finally breaks. And he just goes, look, just fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, Keir Starmer's silence on the shit books is deafening, frankly.
the shitty books. Yeah, okay. Okay, to continue podcasting, James, or
yeah,
should
fine.
We get someone else in?
It's absolutely fine. It was just a bit of a mishap at the beginning. That's all.
a mishap.
You never would have known. If you hadn't have said my name first, which you never do, this would never have happened. It'll be fine.
As before.
James, you do know one of our listeners is going to go back and count how many times I've said your name first. Well, this has happened 12 times.
But no, I bet we'll find out statistically that it's probably still the lowest out of all of them.
Doesn't matter. There's about 3 seconds between saying each name. I mean, it's not like
yeah, but
you
seconds
can say
count.
Your name at the end of
when,
the show.
No, when you've got like beer all over your table, seconds count. Like, you know, when you're dealing with it.
You've got beer. You just shouldn't drink. You should never drink. That's the new rule. Right, okay,
apart
let's get
from
on to
a
your
Christmas
well,
Game of the Year show, obviously.
Yeah, no, you've always got to drink there. That's the complete opposite.
James,
of that
dare
for
I ask how many beers you're intending to drink tonight?
Well, I actually have got a few to get through.
Get through.
Yeah.
So I say it like it's a chore. Have you got booze piling up as well as books?
I have actually. It's a bit
books
of a problem,
and booze.
I was given loads of it for Christmas by people that don't know me, and
they listen to the Game of the Year show and go, well, we know what to get him now.
It should be whiskey, shouldn't it? Not just bottles of beer. But yeah, never mind.
Okay.
Lovely Courage Light Ale drinking at the moment, so it's fine.
We don't care. Matt, you weren't here last week. I assume you've got some thoughts on last week's show.
Yeah, it was a good show. The only bit of feedback really I had was that you were talking about Microsoft's U-turn on Xbox Live prices, and David, I think you said, you know, it's probably just a PR thing, you know, it did it to flip and look better. But I'm fairly sure I read that a lot of people saying, actually, you know, like the cards has already gone into stores. They'd already like shipped out cards with the new prices on.
Of course, because they've got a PR thing.
I think you said like, there's a bit suspect that they would do it, so they would switch so quickly, almost implying that they did it just so they can quickly make the switch back and say, look at us. That was the implication from what you said.
Oh, was it? Okay. I don't remember saying that. That's
yeah, you did. Sorry, Dave.
Did I?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, you're right.
I mean, that really doesn't sound
like
to be clear, I didn't disagree with you, so I'm not like, yeah, Dave. Dave said that. Get Dave.
It is a bit weird, though. They ship them... What was it, a couple of hours before they reversed on it? It was, what a weird decision. Yeah. What a weird thing to Where did you hear that they'd ship the cards?
I don't know, twitter.com.
Industry contacts, you can't say.
Okay, well, there's
because I know people, yeah. So I can't
Sources.
Say it. I wish I could,
capital
but
S.
I all can say that it's definitely true.
How many numbers did they have after the name on Twitter?
Really.
Also, is it true that Argos are launching their PS5 stock at between two and 5 a.m. tonight?
What I heard from industry sources is closer to 3:17 in the morning. But you know, that's just a rumor. I mean,
well, I better stay up again all night.
Yes, you have.
Is that all you've got to add from last week's show?
Well, I also listened to the show, and you were like. Talking about the fact that you haven't been able to get a PS5, and you're like, yeah, like Matt's kind of annoying, you know, saying he'll help me out and get one if it helps.
No, that's not what you said. You said, when you said, if I see one and I get the chance to buy it, should I buy it? I said, yeah, that'd be great, right?
And
but that's
not
what
you
said.
You did not
yes,
say
I did.
That.
What did I say?
Well, you said, you said no, well, I nah, don't bother. And I'm like,
no, you
I
said,
was like
no,
really
I
genuinely
said no
shocked because by the time I tell you, it's too late. If I see it and I've got half a second, if I have a chance to buy it, surely it's better for me to buy it. And if you say, oh, amazing, I think you might have said, But I think the implication was actually you might have got one. Well, I don't want to have like a couple on my hands. It's like you're struggling to get one. I don't think we'll get two. But if I get a chance to get one, surely it's a nice thing, and I'll be happy to press purchase and see where we're at afterwards.
The comment that wound me up that I was referring to last week is when the Amazon released their stock, and you said I should have just bought it, and I just thought, oh yeah, why didn't I think of just buying it? Yeah, no, yeah, I should have just bought it. Actually,
but when I saw it, it was in stock. Anyway,
yeah, when I saw it, it was in stock, Matt. It was impossible to buy.
It wasn't impossible. I knew someone who got it.
So you reckon you could have just bought it at that time when you saw it?
Well, I'm saying if I see it in stock, surely it would make sense for me to try for you.
Right. Okay. Fine. But it's not as easy as that. Trust me. I had a computer monitor with all of the pages up. I had
a computer monitor
set up. Yeah, a computer monitor, Matt.
In which case, I'm out. This is too big for me.
And as I said, I was even in there before the notifications went off, because I just happened to refresh just before the notifications went off, got to the pay screen, and they were like, and then it just wouldn't let it go through. And then it was sold out. It was ridiculous. It is just luck of the draw. And I've eased off from it now. I'm not doing it anymore. I'll occasionally check the latest news on it or whatever, but I'll buy one when they're available. I'm not going through this thing again. It's just, I feel sorry, genuinely feel sorry for the people that have promised their kids. I think I said this last week. Mm. Oh yeah, I'll get you a PS5. And then they've got to enter the world of internet, like,
scalpers,
game people, video game people. You know what I mean? So when they're not looking at what do you call it? When you're not looking at scalpers and bots and all that stuff, they're dealing with people that haven't got them, that love video games, that are kicking the fuck off left, right, and center. There's a PS5 stock UK hashtag. If you go in there, it's half the people complaining they haven't got one, half the people celebrating and tracking their shipments and their dispatch emails and stuff, and then that first half of the people attacking them saying, please don't post about how you've got a PS5 on this hashtag because I want to kill you right now. There's a lot of angry people out there, Matt. Well, if you see one, buy one. But it's not that easy, mate.
Look forward to get one.
Okay, enjoy that. Why don't you play your one?
I played it.
Did you?
Yeah. I played a Maiden demo, and I was talking about it last week, but I wasn't here.
The Maiden demo's 10 minutes long.
Yeah, well, Dave didn't ask how long. He said, have you played it? I have.
That's true.
Do you know what? I mean, I shouldn't expose this, but I did check his PSN account again. And it had been over a week since he last played it, so I'm seething. That's what's upsetting me. Seething. Right, okay, should we get on to the other feedback, Matt?
Yeah, we had plenty of feedback about my Microsoft reward points.
I meant to say before we recorded, Matt, I mean, I've put it all in. Feel free to not read half of it out because it's a bit much.
Go on.
Yeah, well, we'll start with Lars Hederdam. Hey, lads, I'm worried about Matt after last week's, or a couple of weeks ago, what have you been playing section. Do we need to do anything about this point? I don't think he is well. If you see something, say something and all that. All the best, Lars Hederdam. Yeah, I had a DM on the Discord as well, like saying, is that Matt, can I ask you something? I was like, yeah, sure, you know, it might be like something to do with Discord or can't log in or whatever. And he's like, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, well, what's up? He's like, I've listened to what you've been playing. And I was like, I thought that was a genuine question then.
I don't know if I should be laughing.
Anyway,
I don't know if I should be laughing.
The thing with asking anyone if they're all right at the moment is like, look, the answer's probably not really.
Yeah, obviously, the answer's not. Do you want to just... I'll carry on. Matt Spink. Hey, gents, just a quick note on a missed opportunity from last week's show. While Matt was trying to justify his bizarre reward points gaming compulsion, he kept saying it's because he had no time and he needed quick and simple things. However, on a number of occasions, he alluded to strategies for achievements, skipping parts, using saves, etc. It sounds to me that he's spending a good deal of time on obscure forums, we call Reddit obscure, researching the quickest way to tick off points, scoring achievements or reward points. The process isn't quick, and I can't imagine him spending a couple of hours each night researching his plan for completing the next day's tasks in 10 minutes the next morning. Time's better spent playing Spider-Man, for example. If Matt hates his PS5 so much, why doesn't he just give it to Dave?
I don't want it.
I love the show, one of only two podcasts I listen to every week, and a genuine highlight of my week.
I don't want it. Sorry, just to be clear as well, right, James, you know when you were saying, oh, once all this is over, I'll bring the PS5 over and you can check it out. I don't want that either.
Okay.
I was thinking about that the other day, and it's not as slight on you or whatever, but I just thought, how disappointing would that be? Like, the only thing you've got to get excited about when you open a new console is trying it out for the first time. So that's going to be robbed from me instantly, because I'd be like, oh, I played. It's like the time that you stole, what was it that you opened that present? What was the game?
Ooh.
The Mega Drive game. You went round a friend's house and forced him to open up his present.
Yeah, it was like Street Fighter 2 and Aladdin. We did it on both of those, yeah.
And then by Christmas Day, it was just completely ruined.
Yeah, I've ruined it for him, which was...
Yeah, sorry, Matt. I've made it all about me again, haven't I? Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't spend hours of researching. It's on Reddit. It's on the. I think someone else asked about where I get my strategies from, in inverted commas. Yeah, there's a Microsoft Rewards Reddit, and then True Achievements for the videos. It doesn't take long. Anyway, it's not like. Basically, that thing was like a special sort of campaign. It's not like that every week, obviously. I'd be insane. Loads of people saying about. You know, should play on PS5. What are you doing about, you know, why are you doing all the achievement stuff? Just something to keep my mind occupied. Just something. Yeah, Rafi asked what community websites I use to do the reward stuff. Yeah, just go to the reward, Microsoft Rewards subreddit. That's it. That is it. So after you said that on the pod saying, just spend it, Matt, just spend it. I was like, okay, I'm going to spend these points. But basically, like, the keyboard I wanted wasn't in stock on Curry, and I think I need to get like another 14,000 points to sort of get like next voucher. Suddenly. But actually, I was thinking, like, the reason I was originally saving, I was like, oh, brilliant! This will basically, I could do this every day, and this will basically like give me a good chunk of a TV when I want to upgrade a TV.
You bought a TV?
No, I haven't bought a TV. I'm saying,
why,
like,
you bought a TV? What, like 3 years ago?
Oh, I mean for the office. I don't mean for downstairs.
Oh, you mean another TV? Okay.
I mean the second TV.
All right.
Yeah, so the idea was that, you know, just like take some chunk. I'll do what, you know what? I'll do what I want, mate.
Would it take a chunk out of it, though? I thought you'd only made about £4 so far.
No, I've got like 180 quid
he's made
in Currys.
180, oh, right, okay. Over 3 years.
We haven't worked out what the offset is and the amount of games he's had to, you know, like buy and stuff. To
that's
be
true,
yeah.
Yet. Yeah, we need a full game
announced. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. People are acting like this is the first time Matt, like this is an episode for Matt. But I don't think it is, because we saw what happened with
Sound the Beast.
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing it for years. It's also how you played Animal Crossing. You know what I mean? It's like all that sort of stuff. Then you've got the whole, you know, ticking off your list by the end of the year. Otherwise, you delete the list.
This is stuff I do all the time.
Yeah, so. If you think this is a problem that's cropped up in the past couple of months, it's not. It's been a problem that's been there for a long time. So, yeah.
It's just me, man. I was born this way. Just get over it.
It's just him, man. Yeah, leave him alone.
I don't know if you've stopped reading because it was getting too distressing, but there are some supportive comments in the doc.
Oh, read them.
Are there? From who? It's mostly just flagging.
Yeah, you're Brad Turk, and then Ryan Heyman was kind as well.
Okay, cool. Brad Turk, hey all. Just wanted to say I enjoyed hearing Matt talk about doing his dailies for Microsoft Rewards. I love the idea of getting points to do menial tasks, which includes playing games like the Island Saver, which in turn has you do menial tasks like cleaning up a beach. You are doing menial tasks within other menial tasks now. Now, all you have to do is spend those Microsoft points on the game that requires you to do random busy work, and you'll be 3 layers deep. Like Inception, but for monotonous chores. Love the show. Stay safe and sane, Brad.
See, that doesn't sound supportive to me.
Yeah, I was about to say, Sean, that doesn't... That's not,
I thought
that
it was supportive.
He's done me there, hasn't he? So read that supportive one. Ah, you're a cunt.
I didn't read that as sarcastic. I thought he was genuinely amused by the idea.
Even if it is genuine, what he's saying sounds like a great idea. Definitely is not a great idea.
I'm in with Ryan Herman. Generally, I don't agree with Matt's practice of playing seemingly random games for achievements.
You said I don't disagree. I don't want you all having a go at me again, saying actually this is another nasty one.
Okay. Generally, I don't disagree with Matt's practice of playing seemingly random games for achievements or Microsoft Awards. It'd certainly be taking it too far if it's keeping him from playing games that he would enjoy more. But otherwise, it's good to get exposure for the widest variety of games possible. You never know when something you picked up for a few reward points might end up being a great time or introducing you to cool, novel ideas. Every game has a seed of an idea, that, and creators did their best to produce something interesting. Whatever ends up motivating people to try out more of the out of the spotlight experiences. I mean, I doubt many other podcasts were talking about Island Saver that week, and I think the podcast is stronger for it.
I mean, would you recommend that we play Island Saver, Matt?
No.
I mean, we didn't really talk about it as a game, just as a means
to
an end.
No. It was. I mean, you'd be right if Matt was coming in and saying, well, I played through this one and I really enjoyed it. These were the good points. These were the bad points. But he didn't. He loads it up, does the quickest achievements possible, and then deletes it from his drive. Right, Matt?
Have I still got Island Saver? No, I think that's something small, so might still be on. Also, I've need to get my dailies up.
There was one or two you said you genuinely enjoyed, though, right?
Yeah, I think there's one called Corgan, looked like arse, but I quite enjoyed that, actually, in the end.
What do you mean, in the end? What, you play through it?
Yeah, well, it's basically that whole thing, the whole game is like 2 hours because it's episodic. I think the other episodes are quite expensive, apparently. But no, I played for that whole... the whole base game, whatever. It's like a kind of a Diablo-style game. But...
sorry to try and trip you up constantly, but that's 2 hours that could have been spent on the Spider-Man game that you were really excited for all year.
Yeah, how many times? I've not got a brain capacity right now to play a game I'm interested in. I just want to turn my brain off for 2 seconds, if possible.
All right.
Let's go to other stuff. This is Nathan. Currently feeling like a mug right now with my Five Guys question, because as well as sending it here, I DM Sean about it too. I did only send it once, though, but I was on mobile data, if that's a factor.
where did he DM it? So, I didn't see the question DM'd anywhere. Maybe he sent it to, like, my MySpace account or something. I'm not...
yeah, I like that. Maybe I didn't send it 5 times, but I also sent it on various different platforms.
Yeah. I looked you up on friendsreunited.com. And I sent it.
Sent it to your PO box.
But no, Nathan, I'm genuinely curious because we've had this a few times where we get like duplicate question submissions.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's an issue with the form or what.
It's an issue with form. I think it really is just if you'd say like press submit and then you leave that tab on your phone and you go.
That's
back
what
in,
I was thinking. Yeah, does it resubmit it?
Either that, or you press submit and then go back on the browser. That might trigger
maybe
again, right?
Yeah.
Could be that.
It's a great form.
Who cares?
Let's not slag off a form. It's a great form. Paul Parpington. I'll cut to the chase. At the 98-minute, 30-second mark in the show, a bum note can be heard. My money is on James Farley.
Who was it?
Shit, I need to find this.
Because there's a couple of people on Discord mentioned this as well, and I was getting accusations.
I've heard it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a fart.
I mean, do you recognise it?
It is. I've listened back to it. It's very funny, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm not, I must admit, I'm not convinced it's Sean, but was talking at the time.
Have you not gone back and listened to our individual tracks? No.
Oh, I can do... No, because the Mac, my Mac's broken and sent off to Apple, isn't it?
Conveniently,
I don't think it was me, but I'm not ruling myself out. Then.
Well, conveniently, all I can say is that it wasn't me because I checked my audio.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah,
Are they still in the... They might still be in the...
Oh, they're still in the Dropbox.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too late to check now, I guess, but
do
yeah.
we take a break and check it? That's the question.
The thing is, it's the way, like, when you listen, I can see why people thought it was me, because it's like perfectly, I have like a little sort of stutter between two words.
You do,
in the middle, it's great. If it wasn't, you know, if it was intentional, it'd be well placed, you know?
What was the time on it?
98 minutes and 30 seconds,
yeah.
Right, I'm right there.
I'm not ruling myself out.
98 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
So 1:38:30.
Definitely wasn't me.
Just loading.
Loading the
pop. Loading to that point in the show.
This is tense.
The tension. I mean, it is pretty good, and we are going to play at half speed, so it's compelling.
This is compelling listening right now.
All right, well, you talk amongst yourselves, because this does not seem to be loading that quickly.
I was having issues with it loading slow this week.
Shall I just crack on my next question? We'll come back to this.
Yes, please.
David Birch, subscribe to your podcast. Started just before Christmas. Excellent show. Well, apart from poor James being picked on all the time. Dave, I have a challenge, sort of. If I get a PS5 before you, I will sell it to you for the original price I purchased it for and subscribe to Patreon if you're nice to James for one whole month.
No. Hang on. Why is it always just me being nasty to him? He's nasty to me sometimes.
When's that?
Just like with your attitude and that. Just the lack of respect. Do you know what I mean? That's what it is. Just the general lack of understanding that you're here because of me.
David allows you to.
It has been said, Dave. It has been said.
So, I know, by me.
And you alone. I'll keep going. The conspiracy theorist. I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but there is one. There is something suspicious about what's going on in a Farley household. Recently, James mentioned having a stream on YouTube because he was unfortunately locked out of Twitch. It also happens that his son suddenly started getting into Hyrule Warriors because Bricks O'Brien and makes his dad sit there and listen to his influencer. Here's where it gets odd. James admits to actually enjoying the young streamer's show, especially his tax talk. It's almost as if his son was exploiting his father's misfortune to subtly show the possibilities of what a cutting edge stream looks like. Or this is simply revenge after discovering that dad hasn't drafted a will yet. James?
Yeah, I didn't really understand this.
I didn't really follow it.
What you're saying is, Asher has like done something to your Twitch account to get you to watch Bricks O'Brien, and you can say, oh, "Okay, this is what real streamers are like." I think that's the implication.
It doesn't really work, though, does it?
No.
Could you do me a favour though, James? Like, just in the future, when something like that's said or whatever, or someone makes a joke, can you not just go quiet for 5 seconds?
Because what are you talking
that's
about?
Really, I mean,
I'm not going quiet for 5 seconds. I said it immediately.
Sean?
There was a bit of a gap. Well, it might just be Discord, but, you know.
I found the fart.
Okay.
Here we go.
Breaking news.
Nothing's picking up,
here we go. Press
totally
play.
Seamless, and they run, like, in the Hitman 3 engine and stuff. So, yeah, it's proper good.
Right, okay, what's that?
Having them all there, but yeah, it just acts as if they're all part of Hitman 3, basically. It's all totally...
Here we go. He's coming back. We're going to go half speed.
So, yeah, it's proper good just having them all.
Does anyone want to own up now?
No,
because I'm going to find out who it is.
Please find out, because I'm genuinely curious if it was me or not.
It's definitely you. I mean, it's definitely you, James.
James often mutes his mic when he's not engaged.
That's the thing.
It was when we were talking about Hitman. So
yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And I know it wasn't me. So
that's what I'd like to know. Maybe it was you, Dave.
James is audio now. I don't remember farting during the show last week.
Yeah, but
do you often remember?
Do you catalogue everyone?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. I've got a diary. Who hasn't got a diary?
Good point.
Fart diary.
Fart diary. I read one out on TCGS Store.
Okay, go on then, because I've just found the audio, so I'm just going to have a quick listen to James's.
Okay.
James scrambling to delete everything from
Master
the
Master Chef, fry some bacon, put it between two slices of bread, bacon sandwiches, you mug. Stephen Stove, meat, grill it, potatoes, boil and mash them, vegetables of your choosing, get it on the plate, dinner, you muppets.
Could you imagine if this is the first show you listen to?
When I heard that bit last week, I thought this is a great kind of Bell's Kitchen apron. Yeah, just have that down the front.
Lovely old job.
That is it for feedback. If you want to leave us feedback, go to tcgs.co/dearTCGS.
Cool. Let's get to the news. James Farley.
This is well exciting, isn't it? It's like...
it's massive.
You see, the thing is honestly, this morning when I was putting the news together, I mean, I shared it with you all and everyone was just like, yeah, it's boring, isn't it? Like what we've got. And it, to be honest, it is a pretty boring, like, it's a pretty boring array of things that have happened this week. But then something massive happened.
Should we not have left this one to last then?
No. You can't do that. You absolutely can't do that. I'm not teasing like that. We've got to hit with this. I mean, this happened just before we were about to start recording. And it's pretty, I mean, it's pretty shocking, isn't it? So Google have shut down their internal studios and they're changing their business focus. So basically they've packed it in, like in terms of making games. That's ending. They're going to close their two game studios. One's located in Montreal, another one's in Los Angeles. And there's good, like, apparently, it's, I mean, obviously 150 developers are going to be affected by this. One source has, that talked to Kotaku had said that they're going to try and find them other positions like within Google. But still, that's, you know, that's terrible, obviously. And Jade Raymond is obviously gone as well because she was heading like all of Google's internal initiatives. And now it's not clear, like, if any, like, sort of exclusive games are still going to come to the service, although they've said that they are still interested in signing new stuff.
Yeah, in terms of basically, they, I think the they've said on in that piece, they said that anything in very, very near term, yes. I mean, I still don't know what that is. Anything that was going to be late in 2021 is gone.
Yeah. So there's still, what they're planning to do now is they're going to offer the Stadia tech to publishers, so that then other people can then, like other, obviously, you know, companies can use this for their own like operations. And apparently Google's head of Stadia operations, Phil Harrison, is going to focus on pursuing these new partnerships. That's going to be his role. So do you want me to read the whole statement? Because there's a whole statement that Google have put out. Is it worth reading it?
Yes, please. It's massive, though, and it's Phil Harrison, so it's fucking boring.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll read it, and you can stop me when you fall asleep or whatever, and it'll be fine.
So I've started doodling already, I'll be honest. I've got a notepad here. I'm just going
okay. Crack on. We launched Stadia with the goal of making your favourite games instantly available wherever you want to play them. With the recent successful launch of Cyberpunk 2077 on Stadia, gameplay on all types of devices, including iOS, growing our slate of YouTube integrations and our global expansions, it's clear that Stadia's technology has been proven and works at scale. Having games streamed to any screen is the future of this industry, and we'll continue to invest in Stadia and its underlying platform to provide the best cloud gaming experience for our partners and the gaming community. This has been the vision of Stadia since the beginning. In 2021, we're expanding our efforts to help game developers and publishers take advantage of our platform technology and deliver games directly to their players. We see an important opportunity to work with partners seeking a gaming solution all built on Stadia's advanced technical infrastructure and platforming tools. We believe this is the best path to building Stadia in the long term, sustainable business that helps grow the industry. Creating best-in-class games from the ground up takes many years and significant investment, and the cost is going up exponentially. Given our focus on building on the proven technology of Stadia as well as deepening our business partnerships, we've decided that we will not be investing further in bringing exclusive content from our internal development team beyond any near-term planned games. With the increased focus on using our technology platform for industry partners, Jade Raymond has decided to leave Google to pursue other opportunities. We greatly appreciate Jade's contribution to Stadia and wish her the best of luck in her future endeavours. Over the coming months, most of the SG&E team will be moving on to new roles. We're committed to working with this talented team to find new roles and support them. What does this mean if you're a current or future Stadia gamer? You can continue playing all your games on Stadia and Stadia Pro, and we'll continue to bring new titles from third parties to the platform. We're committed to the future of cloud gaming and will continue to do our part to drive this industry forward. Our goal remains focused on creating the best possible platform for gamers and technology for our partners, bringing these experiences to life for people everywhere. That's it.
I mean,
I've got to say that you know, it's a nice statement, but for me, the best quote was the one at the end of the Kotaku piece.
Yep.
What was that?
It's Google was a terrible place to make games. Imagine Amazon, but under-resourced.
Oh, fucking that
came from a source familiar with the operations. Yeah, I love that.
It's not looking good, is it?
It's fucked. Surely, like all we've said this whole time, even like from, you know, when it was first announced to when it came out to now, it just needs good exclusives, like any, you know, new platform or any, you know, any particular platform. Like, I know, like, the tech is cool, potentially. I mean, it also potentially comes with a, you know, raft of issues in terms of digital rights and ownership and what have you. But like the fact that like no one believed the tech would work and it pretty much did, that was the hard part. Google just had to get the fucking wallet out, and
I don't think it was the hard part, though.
And go on.
I don't think that was the hard part, though, because for Google, the technology, I don't think was that wasn't the thing. It was always going to be, you know, being able to convince people to, like, you know, to join this and to, like, pay, you know, for enough stuff. I mean, look how long it's taken
Microsoft. Yeah, but loads of people weren't convinced. Loads of people weren't convinced that the tech was going to be solid enough, right? Whereas most people who did try it sort of were actually quite impressed, but there was just nothing there above what they had on their existing consoles or PCs or whatever.
Well, the thing is, I think that it will always be that streaming won't be... like, streaming's nowhere near good enough to be an alternative. It has to be, you know, an option. Do you know what I mean? Like, it needs to run alongside the hardware.
Yeah.
You know, a local hardware. As I say, you know, Microsoft still haven't got their cloud service off the ground yet, and they're nowhere near making it interesting for people. And that is a thing that you get on the side if you want at the moment.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the Google, it was kind of like, no, this is where we want you to buy your games.
Mm.
And when they were the same price as, you know... I games consoles aren't that expensive if you're going for, say, last gen stuff. And all right, you can throw the idea of Cyberpunk out there, and you'd be right; it did run better on Stadia, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like sort of the exception.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, the Destiny experience on there wasn't that great, from what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it launched, because it was, you could only play with other Stadia players. I don't know if that's still the case. I don't think it is. Is it? It's cross-platform now.
It's got cross-save, but I don't think it's cross-play. No,
it's still not cross-platform. But no. I mean,
that's not just Google, though, is it? That's just
no,
not
yeah, that's everything. But you know, on the other platforms, there's more than five people playing. So
yeah. But that's it. That's the point, isn't it? I mean, it's it feels like that. There's more of a problem here, but maybe we're jumping the gun. Like, we're already talking as if Stadia's dead, and it's not
dead. It is dead. It's essentially
this
dead,
you,
David.
This is you calling it before, that you did the same with Kinect, right?
I was right then as well.
No, you weren't. No, James, this is... You can't say you were right then, because eventually it was dead. Before you announce that a system or something is dead,
Kinect,
it needs to be dead. You can't...
Kinect did not have the impact, like, Kinect on Xbox One did not have the impact that Microsoft thought it was going to. There was hardly any games came out for that, like, over the period that it was around. It was a disaster from the word go. That's why it was essentially dead on arrival. It was no good.
I agree, but you turning around and saying, it's dead, doesn't work until it's dead. You can't just keep saying that years before it actually dies out. It's
but you
not
can.
How it
I
works,
mean, in this, okay, but in this case, you can with this, because Google Stadia is essentially dead now from this. Look, the thing is about this is, even though they're now saying they're going to put this onto, like, other publishers or whatever that may be interested, I'm not sure who's going to be interested, given that, you know, it seems that Google don't have much faith in their own, like, technology.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there. I mean, I can't see why anyone would look to develop for that service when, I mean, I'd hate to see the sales figures for the games that come out, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't hate to see that at all. I'd love it. it would make up for a good portion of this show.
Yeah, brilliant.
But it's not looking good. And I mean, we'd seen it coming. I mean, the only one that seemed surprised in our group chat when this news was announced was Matt.
I didn't act surprised. I just thought, wow, this is huge news. It's in, you know, they did it. They cancelled it.
You shouted, you put in all caps, they did it. As if it was like,
yeah, they cancelled it. All the stuff that people were assuming they would do. I mean, it felt like they wouldn't do it this early, but also it's hardly surprising given everything that's happened over the last 16 months or whatever it came out.
But here's a question then. Where does streaming services go from here? Because if you remember E3 2019, pretty much every company was saying, we're doing a streaming service. I think Activision said it, EA said it.
Ubisoft did as well, yeah.
You know, Ubisoft, or maybe it wasn't Activision, it was Ubisoft. You know, there's a lot of people out there saying we're doing a streaming thing too.
But as you say,
so
but I think it's
they go
it come,
from here.
So I think it comes back to what you were saying about it being an alternative versus no, this is definitely just how you play games now.
Yeah,
I think offered as a side thing, people are way more likely to be interested, but as a full on replacement, there's just too many.
With people doing their own versions, it's just I will have this as part of, you know, Game Pass Ultimate. I have this as part of PlayStation Plus. The other ones are going to have a life and carry on because people will be using them anyway as part of the service. And maybe in like 10, 15 years' time, maybe a lot of people will just be using them and not having to buy the consoles. But for now, it's just a great value add, I guess they refer to alongside.
Like, that's the question now, isn't it? Is like, is this because it was ahead of its time, or are there just too many problems fundamental to a pure streaming service that it's just not gonna
as a streaming service died and we've said, oh, was it because it was ahead of its time?
It's not that. It's about, you know what I mean? It's all about one thing, and it's content. It's all about content, and none of them yet have got the content that would make somebody want to do
it's not all about content.
It
is.
It's primarily about content, because if there's the games are there, people will want to play them, and they're not there.
Yeah, but also if there was a very good reason to do this over traditional gaming, then, you know, if there was a clear, obvious, oh my God, yeah, no, that is way better than what I'm playing, the way I'm playing at the moment.
Yeah, that's
then
another
people
thing.
People would switch as well.
But it's also, okay, if instead of Bethesda being bought by Microsoft, they were bought by Google, and like all Bethesda games were coming out on Stadia, that would have like been a statement. And I think people would much like more likely to have jumped on the system if they'd have done that. I really do. And this is the thing. This is what Microsoft have done, and they've understood, like over this generation particularly, is that you have to have all of these, you know, all the content here, and you have to have these companies that are churning it out. That's why they bought so many of these studios, you know, to bolster their lineup in the same way that Sony did, in the same way that that Nintendo have done as well. And Google just didn't do that. They seem to think that they could like coast along, you know, like sort of, you know, as if they were Sony already, you know, with just third parties, and it didn't matter. It's crazy.
Bizarre. What? Here's a question for you, James.
Go on.
How long before they turn the servers off? What do you reckon?
I don't think they will, because I mean, the thing is you get this a lot with Google, where they launch like products and they launch like services, and they'll go on for quite a long time, but essentially they're dead. I mean, look at Google Plus. They only switched that off not that long ago, but no one was using it. It was this is why I say they are essentially dead, you know, by this point. They're meaningless. And I think that's probably the way that Stadia is going to go.
It's so damning. What do you reckon, Sean?
What, in terms of how long it's got?
Yeah.
3 years, tops?
3 years. Damn. You better get those controllers now. They're going to be
it's a lovely controller. It's a nice controller.
it looks all right.
Actually, yeah, maybe they'll go cheap now. I'll pick them up for £20 a pop.
Oh man, if they've worked with PC, didn't they? They're just Bluetooth. PC, who gives a fuck?
Bluetooth ones. Technology worked. I mean, the amount of people that played and enjoyed Cyberpunk and comparing that to the console versions, they proved the technology works. But as James said, there's no
Here's
content.
The thing though, Matt, you say the amount of people that enjoyed doing that. What were the numbers?
I mean, we don't know.
Exactly. It could be a lot of people saying, oh, you should play out on Stadia, not actually doing it.
But I read plenty of reports, not people just like high on, you know, Stadia, but actually, I wanted to give it a go. It's cheaper than a promotion. Actually, I'm really surprised how well it works. Like, I don't think I've heard really rarely any reports to say it's total rubbish. And most people say it works really well.
We've said that before.
This whole thing about the fact that it worked and that people seem surprised, I still don't understand that. Before we had this, we had PlayStation Now, which worked. We had, what's it called, like GeForce Now, that also worked. All of these things, they already worked. This is not a surprise that the technology they come up with worked.
So for me, it was the fact, yeah, so like I tried streaming services before and they were like impressive, but not like, you know, never good enough for me to go, actually, yeah, I can see this being the future. What really surprised me with Stadia is I did the, you know, the trial for Stadia Plus and I played Thumper, which is a, you know, a pretty precise rhythm action game, and it was absolutely fine. So that was really impressive to me, because that is a genre that I would have thought would never ever work via a streaming service. I gather it had some clever tweaks and stuff under the hood to make it work on Stadia, but even so, I was really impressed by that, because that was a game I thought would never be viable on a service like this. So that for me, that was why I was like, oh, actually, okay, this is really impressive technologically, but no games or nothing that I couldn't play elsewhere.
Yeah, here's the other issue that Stadia has, for sure. If they're relying on third parties, did you hear about Cyberpunk on Stadia?
No.
It's a port, right?
PC
studio was brought in to port it to work on Stadia.
Oh, fuck.
Right? So, I mean, even existing games out there, it's not like they can just take an existing version of that game and, you know, it'll work on Stadia.
Well,
they need to port it across.
That's exactly the same problem that Valve had with Steam stuff, wasn't it?
Steam OS. It was Linux based, and no one could be fucking bothered.
Because anybody that wants to start something, they don't want to spend the money to obviously have to license loads of like Microsoft licenses for like Windows. So they all are like, oh, let's just do a Linux version or whatever. But then, yeah, the game support isn't there. It's like, let's do a Mac version or whatever. It's not a great idea.
Okay, well, one more thing on Stadia before we move on. Matt, are you going to thank us for stopping you buying that Stadia?
I mean, it would have been a great 5 minutes if I had bought it.
Are you going to thank us for grabbing hold of you and saying, don't buy Stadia?
No, cancel, I cancelled it myself. It was nothing to do with you guys.
Are you going to thank us now for doing that?
I have, in a way.
You should absolutely thank us. I mean, do you remember the live show where you were running around screaming, I'm going to get a Stadia tattoo?
That's great.
God, you must be happy you didn't get that Stadia tattoo, I'll tell you that.
Tell me about Google Stadia. I still want to get you that T-shirt.
Oh, I'm so glad we didn't do a T-shirt. Well, the next console, maybe.
Okay, that's enough. Let's move on.
Okay,
Before we do, is that now our fish, like, probably our last Stadia update?
I mean, absolutely not.
Absolutely no. No way.
No, because they've always said this stuff. Like, so the next thing basically is, you know, they're shutting the servers down. That could be like two or 3 years away.
Okay, yeah. Where is this on the Anthem scale? You know, like, of being finished.
It's totally different.
How?
I mean, they're both bad, but,
I know, but
different types.
In terms of being like, it's not going to make a comeback. I mean,
oh man, do you know?
I still believe Anthem will, and this clearly isn't going to.
I don't know what it is, and I think maybe it is because of the current situation we're in, but I've been thinking about time travel a lot. Like, oh, I'd love to go back to when I was at, like, college or whatever and show them the iPhone at the moment and go, look at this, look at this, or show them FIFA.
You would have done that. You wouldn't have killed Hitler, but you would have shown the iPhone. That's...
Yeah, correct.
But
also one of the things that I would have done was clipped Matt saying that both Anthem and Stadia were rubbish and sent it back a couple of years and played it to him when he was going, Anthem's going to be amazing and Stadia's like the future. And just, hey, Matt, listen to this. Where have you come from? The future. Just listen to this. Oh, yeah, what's it like? Don't ask. Do not ask.
Yeah, but Anthem 2.0 just, is, you know, game of the year contender.
Never
potentially
not going to happen.
We should also
you go back to the future, David, what games am I playing? Well, you're not really playing them, you're just getting the achievements.
We should just quickly acknowledge as well, like, we'll never know like how many potentially really cool games have just been fucking binned. That's really sad.
And also,
for all the people who've worked on them. According to the statement, they're going to find new jobs for them, but maybe it'll be jobs they don't particularly fucking want. So it is like a shit situation for them as well.
I'm just thinking, because there was some, because Google bought like some companies as well, didn't they?
They
bought that company that did the Savage, was it the Savage Garden or what was it called? No, Savage Planet.
That's a band.
Savage Planet.
Savage Planet.
Yeah.
Journey to the Savage Planet
studio, didn't they? So I wonder what happens to them.
Yeah, what's happening to them? Buy
themselves Microsoft. Microsoft. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Definitely. It's the other sequels to that. Savage Garden.
That was a good game, though. The Savage Universe, that's coming. Yeah, that's definitely coming. I'll play that shit. All right, next news story.
Okay, sorry, the rest of these are nowhere near as exciting or as interesting.
This is why I said you should have built up to it.
No, but you couldn't.
Have you read them? Sure, you can't build up to these, mate.
No, you can't. They're not very good. So anyway, the Switch has overtaken the 3DS, and Nintendo are doing very well.
That is wild.
Yeah. They've done it in less than
3DS.
Years.
Is it? Oh, sorry, I'm okay. thinking. Sorry, I'm sort of conflating it with the original DS as well. But 3DS was still massive, right?
That is less wild than we. Than I initially thought.
Yeah.
Still quite wild. Congratulations.
Yeah.
But not as wild as...
Because I was looking for... And it's not your fault, James. Mm. It's not your fault. But I was looking at the news stories we've got for this week, and fuck me, it's boring, isn't it?
It is.
Why can't there just be, oh, this game's coming out, and oh, this game got delayed, and all that sort of stuff. That's where news is great. The Switch has sold... more units than... Oh, my God, what? Who cares? Like, really? We know that the Switch is successful, right?
Yeah. In terms of... The interesting thing I did see was start saying that the Switch Lite is now just about to overtake Wii U. The Switch Lite.
Yeah. What's the ratio? Did it say what the ratio is between...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm interested in that.
Okay, so this is
this is a brilliant news story. Everyone shut up.
You are the best.
This is in the last 9 month period. So they sold like 24.1 million units over 9 months, which was like 36% over last year. But it was 16.7 million of those were normal Switch ones, and then 7.3 were Switch Lites.
Right. So the normal Switch is still killing it.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. All right. That's surprising, actually. I find that surprising considering Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Because it's what, £100 more expensive?
Yeah.
And then you got to remember that the people that already own a Switch will probably buy a Switch Lite as a second Switch, right?
Third.
Out of four.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, did you buy them within the... No, see? If they'd extended it to just before Animal Crossing come out, then I think the ratio would be quite different. But there you go.
But yeah, okay, so they've done very well. As have Xbox, because their gaming revenue's up 51% over last year, and that's because Xbox hardware alone was 86% of the makeup, and they've done very, very well. And I mean, but it also says Xbox content and services revenue was up 40%, and most of this is because of Game Pass subscriptions, which are doing great.
18 million they've hit now. 18.
It's pretty good.
That's mental. That is big numbers now. So yeah, and I mean, and this is before they've had any really top quality like exclusive.
Halo had come out, what the numbers would have been like?
Well, I mean, they probably dropped if it was the Halo that we saw.
This was the weird thing, though, wasn't it? When you told me about the medium, like when you said like that's already made all its money back, like in sales. And that's excluding Game Pass.
Well, no, that's not what it says, is it?
Is it not?
That's not what it says. No, it says it's already covered development costs, not necessarily in sales. I'm assuming
that marketing costs have been recouped already, yeah.
Yeah, I assume that a big chunk of that has come from their deal to launch straight onto...
Yeah, it's the check.
What's it, right?
I don't know, because it said in the story that you linked that was excluding Game Pass.
In this news section.
No, it didn't, did it?
I'm sure it did.
God, if it's another one.
If only we could check.
Yeah, but that's thing. Exactly, I can check, but what was the... Ugh. See, the onus is always on me to prove something said.
I've got it here, right? This is a quote. It was a Google Translate, but whatever. It says, sales of the medium have reached levels that cover the production and marketing costs of the game.
Right, okay. So sales.
Yeah.
There must be, there must be enough people out there. But is this available on Xbox One and Xbox One X?
That I don't know, because I thought it said it was exclusive. Guys, but...
this is an exclusive Xbox Series game, so just X and S.
Wow.
See that? So... But I don't... Okay, why would someone buy this, though? Like, I don't understand.
Because some people don't want to have a monthly subscription.
No, but you could just subscribe. Yeah, but you just subscribe for a month and it's cheaper than buying the game.
Yeah, but some people just don't want to do that. They're like, I just buy games. I don't want all this newfangled subscription stuff.
I don't want to subscribe.
I want to play it for more than a month.
Here's the...
Even if you do it twice, it's still cheaper than buying it.
Okay. So...
Only 8 hours long.
Here's the thing. So we're saying that this is only out on Series X and Series S.
Yeah.
Yep.
You would assume that quite a large number of the people that own a Series S on X... have Game Pass, but this is excluding the money from Game Pass and going on sales. So I wonder how many they sold and how much it cost to develop, because blimey, that doesn't work out in my head.
It's not on PC as well.
It's very surprising.
Was on PC as well?
I can't remember what happened because the last few weeks have been a blur. But with our consoles, did we get like a code for like a month or 3 months of a Game Pass? I was wondering if like everyone who bought a console.
It's only for new subscribers, that code.
Okay, I was wondering if maybe like it's been a couple of months now, so maybe everyone's like free Game Pass has run out that they got on a console, and now they're like, well, I'm not going to buy a sub, I'll just buy the game. I do know you get a discount, don't you, for buying games which are on Game Pass if you want to buy
Correct.
Them to own?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like 20% off or something, isn't it?
Although it's probably only subscribers who get that. No, I mean,
yeah,
it's interesting.
It is out on PC, and I'm really interested. Oh, this is sad, isn't it? I'm really interested to see what the specs are for the PC to run it, because when they initially spoke about this game, it was like, now we've got the SSDs with fast loading, you can run two versions of it. But if this runs on a Windows PC with a normal hard drive, then that kind of goes against what they were saying, right? Not going to look it up, but yeah. Okay, well, the medium, it got positive reviews. It seemed to come out to a lot of positivity amongst critics. I've heard that maybe it's, you know, not top tier, but it's pretty good. But we've got James, you've been playing it, right?
I so have, yeah, we can talk
we'll
about
hear
it.
Your thoughts on it later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. All right, nice one. Next story.
Okay, after 25,000 complaints, the EU is calling for an investigation into Switch Joy-Con drift. So this is the European Consumer Organization.
How many of the 25,000 complaints were from you, James?
no, not just from me, but also from listeners to our show who don't know about Contact Cleaner. And, yeah, it's...
They're all complaining about it.
Yeah, but yeah. So basically, what's happening is they're looking now at investigating this, and they said this is based on rules surrounding what they call premature obsolescence and misleading emissions of key consumer information on the basis of the EU's Unfair Commercial Practices Directive.
Well, that's the episode title.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That in there. I mean, it's bad that it's got to this point, isn't it? I mean, everyone I know with a Switch has had the drift. Joy-Con drift problem.
Well, the EU said that they've had like 88% of people that have contacted whatever had, well, 88% of people have had this issue. Like,
I was going to say, what, so the other 12% phoned up to say, no, I'm
exactly,
doing all right.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that percentage from, but that's what they say. But yeah.
I've got the drift.
It's been a known issue for a while, and I find it. Have Nintendo ever faced a hardware issue like this before? I can't think of them recalling or addressing a hardware failure issue.
No, not like this.
I mean, they're facing a similar like class action suit in America. And then, so that's why when they're asked about this, they always just say, we can't talk about it because, you know, we're facing a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, they need to address it, don't they? I'm so surprised that they put the same sticks on the light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then maybe they saw that as admitting fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, they changed it. It's like, oh, why have you changed it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a strange one, but hopefully they, you know, hopefully they address it because mm-hmm. they need to. You know, Sony have been through hardware issues. Microsoft, we all know, have been through hardware issues. They need to address it pretty sharpish. And it's not going to be cheap to... I mean, they're selling more and more of these things. So more than the 3DS now, Sean. I don't know if you've heard, but they're flying.
I mean,
off the
shelves. That's insane. That's mad.
That's
okay.
Wild.
It's not going wild. To it.
sorry, Sean. Did you say you haven't got drift?
Yeah, I've not had drift. No.
Wow.
You've never had it.
Nope.
Wow. Okay.
Just got cool hands,
thumbs,
Joy-Cons,
cool sticks.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say I haven't had other problems. I had one of them had like a really buzzy. I don't know, whatever the thing is that does the rumble. It's not a motor like the normal ones, is it? So
that's
I had to so I had to replace that at one point. But that's
Hang
been
on.
About it. I mean, I
Didn't you
changed
replace
the casing,
the
but that was
well,
my
Sean?
Stupid idea. No, not replace the sticks, just the casing and that
no,
one.
No, just the shell. Okay. Did the problem with the rumbling happen
sticks,
after
he's
you replaced
sticks.
It?
No. The problem with the rumble was pretty much from day one. I should have just sent it back, but obviously at the time it was like, I remember I was playing Tumbleseed and I remember thinking it was like, it seemed to be just that was setting it off. And I just thought it was a thing with Tumbleseed. And then as the months went by, I was like, oh no, hang on, this is happening with quite a few games actually.
It's happening in every game. Yeah. That bloody Tumbleseed.
Tumbleseed was crazy for its like the strength of its rumble. It was nuts.
Yeah, I do wonder if that just broke it. But
yeah, almost definitely. Didn't they tone it down after a while? Like,
one of their patches
was like, yeah, we got to stop. Okay, sure.
Okay, next story is that GameStop stock is up 135% in 24 hours. And yeah, I mean, everyone's already talked about this. I didn't really want to talk.
Favorite thing about this story is video games journalists trying to wrap their head around the stock market. So basically, the numbers go down, and that really hurts the rich.
Basically,
people.
If I have some oranges and you buy them for £10, but then you're gonna sell
you know
them.
Animal Crossing, right? It's a bit like the turnips and the. I don't know what I'm talking about. By the sounds of it, a bunch of people got on Reddit. They fucked around with the stock market. It screwed over the.
It screwed over some hedge funds. Yeah.
Yeah, it screwed over some hedge funds. And then the market got shut down by various apps or whatever.
Which, of course, is hilarious because, you know, the people who are upset about this are usually your sort of free market types. And it's like, don't interrupt the free market. If it sorts itself out, mate. Wait a minute. No, stop this. This is...
I found out to that. I don't know how true this is. It was on CNN, and I never trust like media like that. But they were saying that the Robinhood app, which was the app that people were primarily using to buy this stock to screw up the stock market, was owned by one of the people or one of the companies that was heavily losing out because of all the sick activity.
And they were the first
to shut down the
there was a link there.
We don't know enough about it.
This is the thing, isn't it? And it's only been a story in our sort of sphere because it's GameStop.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Really.
Yeah.
So I mean, go on, sorry.
Listen to more financially aware people. You know,
that's the thing. I don't think we've got anything we can add to this. Really,
I can add something. It's like,
here we go.
If you bought like 10 turnips. This is like, you sell 12 and you make 14.
No, I will lend you those 10, Matt, and then you can
if
hope
I
that they go down.
If I said turnips will be worth £2 tomorrow, but actually they're £10.
Right, okay, no more turnips. No more turnips for the time being until people get their money back.
Sure, all right, Marion.
Okay, let's go. Next.
Okay, so Don't Nod have got new funding self-publish in the future. And that's coming from Tencent, and it seems that they probably won't be working on any like new Life is Strange games.
Is self-publishing in those air quotes? Do you reckon? Is that it? They've had funding. It's like they owe Tencent a favour now. Is that how it works? It's like that just sounds like we'll give you the money to self-publish.
The thing in air quotes is new self-published intellectual properties. Hey, big email. Hey, everyone, enjoy your new self-published intellectual properties.
Go on, sorry, finish the story, James.
Yeah, so it seems that they may not be working on new Life is Strange games, at least not in the immediate future, but maybe Deck Nine, who did Beyond Before the Storm, will maybe continue the series instead.
Before the Storm was wonderful, wasn't it?
It was.
So... Was it wonderful? Oh, wasn't the third episode in that pretty rubbish? But then they did.
Yeah, they didn't wrap it up very well, but the earlier ones were great.
They didn't wrap it up very well, but then they did that bonus episode, which was absolutely superb. Like one of the best Life is Strange things out there. So, do you know what? We've always been big fans of Don't Nod, I think it's fair to say. I think their recent output.
Well, no, we've been fans of Life is Strange. Everyone play Vampire? No?
No, that's true. That's very true, and we weren't really fans of Why Did You Tell Me That? And what was
I can't
the other game
you told
that they
me
bought?
That.
Oh, they did Remember Me, didn't they?
I didn't mind that. But what I'm saying, my point is, I have a feeling that let someone else have a stab at that universe, because I think, you know, it'd be interesting. Be interested to see what... I might live to regret that. But I'd be interested to see what another set of writers and another studio could do with that concept. So, okay. All right.
That's it.
Good. As I say, news not as exciting as it used to be, is it?
What do you
mean? Lots of figures.
I mean, James did say,
stuff.
James warned us, and he said, is there anything we need to take out? So we can't.
I've got a problem,
now,
James.
We can't now take the piss out of him for it
I'm
being
not taking
boring.
The piss out of him. It's not, absolutely okay. Not his fault, is it? It's just the industry at the moment is dull as fuck.
Yeah, well, we need actual news. Like, it feels like the year hasn't even started. Give us some.
Make a story up, Matt. Go on the spot. Let's hear one. We'll react
Microsoft
to it.
Are buying Nintendo.
It's about bloody time, isn't it, eh?
It is.
Yeah, this is exciting. Game Pass, am I right? Get all those Mario parties on there.
Yeah.
Can you hear James weeping in the corner?
Not been proven yet.
It's not been proven.
Yeah, I'm looking at track record, though, mate. Do you want to time me fight for 3 hours?
James just imagining, like, Jay Allard sitting down in front of Miyamoto and being like, right, so here's where you're going wrong, mate. Like this.
I do have to say that for new listeners that maybe this is their first show, what Matt just said about James fighting for 3 hours wasn't just a random wacky joke that he slung out there. That legitimately happened.
It wasn't the whole 3 hours, it was just on and off during the 3 hours.
Just a constant like
on and off every minute or so.
God,
that restaurant has since shut down. It doesn't exist anymore.
Because of you.
Too much trumping.
Because of that episode. You must jump in, baby.
Man, that was bad.
The pollution level in Canterbury went up, spiked.
I mean, that shut down. That shut down before COVID. It was not good. Yeah.
It's a weird thing to say, right? Okay. So it's been 2 weeks now since Matt was last on the show.
Oh my god!
So
yeah.
I can't wait to hear what games he's got to talk about this week. Let's all settle down, chill out.
It is gonna be a long one.
Go on, Matt. What have you been playing?
I played that Maiden demo.
Okay.
And
well, we spoke about that last week. Yeah. So
okay.
Fine.
And I'm really going to play the Medium. I'm really going to play that, and I'm really excited to play that. I'm going to play that, and I've never got around to it. It's been a bad time recently. That's all I can say.
That's fine. Everyone's going through a bad time. But why would you say, I really want to play the Medium, I'm going to play the Medium this week, when you've got Spider-Man Miles Morales?
I don't know, actually. I just kind of forgot about that machine.
Right, okay. Is this part of your list thing? Because Miles Morales came out last year. Is that already in the bin
trust
now?
Trust me, the list... I didn't really have anything on the list, so no, the list hasn't really been part of my brain in the last few months.
Okay. Okay, so fair I clip that. This hasn't been part of my brain.
No, I just
there are special rewards for the Medium, Matt.
Oh no!
If I buy it, I'm not going to buy it.
I was
I'm not
a,
like everyone else who helped them recoup the development and marketing costs. No,
yeah, they don't need it anymore.
No, I'm not going
to buy
it.
Okay, so you haven't really got anything to talk about.
Nope, sorry, it's been a bad time.
Well, as soon as you brought up the Medium, James, I'm very excited to hear about this, because I think what it is that when I saw the type of game it was, I just saw clips of it and I thought, this just seems right up James's street.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm excited to see what he thinks. So tell us, initially, have you finished it?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I've only played it for about an hour or so. So these are...
Oh, what?
I know. I was going to play it more,
this
but then...
This was your thing this month.
Well, I know, but then I got caught up with another game, which I'll talk about after this.
God.
What? What's wrong with that?
Well, I wanted to hear about the Medium, and you were like, yeah, I've started it.
I know. I started it. I've only played it for about an hour and a half or so. But,
all right, go on then.
I mean, the thing is, right, because the last game that I played by the same team was the Blair Witch one, and I started playing it on stream, and I binned it off very quickly because I didn't enjoy it very much. I didn't think it was very good. But this one is much more interesting to me because it's set in Poland. And you play the part of this woman called Marianne, and she's just lost her foster father, like in the game. But she has, as we've seen in sort of the trailer, she has this sort of strange connection with the other side. And it's implied, like straight from the beginning, that she sort of helps people to cross over when they die. And, I mean, one of the things I'm not sure about at this stage with playing is that it doesn't... See, I've not watched any of the other trailers apart from the one that we saw in the showcase. I don't know if there's any combat or not, but everything that I've done so far has been mostly sort of puzzle-based. So the main hook of this is that certain parts of the game, the screen divides and you can see both like the real world and the other side, like from her sort of perspective. And it is kind of interesting because like the movement, you know, however you move in one world, it's mirrored in the other. So if you're talking with somebody else, you know, in one world, you can see it in the other. She looks like she's having a conversation with thin air, you know, that sort of thing.
And so what happens is she gets this phone call from somebody that she should travel to this sort of disused holiday resort in the Polish woods. And this person is sort of promising her
Polish
answers.
Woods.
Hmm? So again?
Why do you specify it was the Polish woods?
Well, I'm just emphasising the fact that it's set in Poland. It'll come okay. clear because right. it's because of the Soviet architecture that there is from this. So she gets called there to try and find out perhaps her background. It's not entirely clear, like right from the beginning, what the whole motivation is. And then she stumbles across this holiday resort, which is like very sort of like it was built for Soviet workers, you know, or for Polish workers, you know, during the Soviet era. Mm-hmm. And so far, I'm enjoying it because it's mostly, as I said, exploration, and the atmosphere in it is fantastic. It's also like, especially all of the like the architecture, as I said, and sort of the design that sort of echoes a lot of the stuff that I'm interested in, like historically. The only thing, I mean, I wouldn't say it hasn't blown me away in terms of like visually. I don't think it looks amazing or anything, and I can't see what the SSD is doing for it, if that is something that's part of it.
Yeah, Sam, the whole idea was that it was running two games at once, essentially, isn't it? It's two environments on screen at the same time.
Yeah, but because my understanding was that, like, you were, like, I know they showed that trailer where it was showing both at the same time, but I thought the point was that you seamlessly switched between the two, but it's not, is it?
No, they're actually running side by side.
Yeah, they're both visible side by side, yeah.
Which is okay, although, I mean, on the Series S, it's a little bit juddery, I think, from time to time. But then I've discovered that because this week the other thing I did was I connected my Series S to a 4K TV. Because previously it had been connected to a 1080p TV. And I hadn't really seen like any sort of problems at all with it. Now, I can now kind of see why it's a 1080p machine. Because running things in 4K... Have you done this, Sean? Are you playing like stuff
Yeah, I play on a 4K telly, yeah. But then I'm sat sort of 3 meters away, so...
Because I've really found it makes a difference in performance, like with a lot of stuff. Like it's not noticeable because perhaps I played it in 1080p like all the rest of the time. Like I was playing FIFA and there's slowdown and stuff like that, and I was quite surprised, you know, compared to how it was when I then bumped the resolution down. It was a lot better. So it does feel like this machine is certainly not as powerful as the Series X, and I think it really is designed as a kind
what?
Of like
it's
a.
Not.
I mean, it literally isn't. Yeah.
No, it's. I mean, it's really
this
not.
Is, this is new information. As someone told
Microsoft, seems
it's cheaper and
studies,
worse.
Yes, it's not as powerful as the X.
I mean, what I'm trying to say here is, it's not really a next generation console, Matt. I mean, that's.
I don't want to talk about it, James.
That's what the thing is about it. But I mean, so far though, I've enjoyed it of what I have played. It does feel very sort of Silent Hill, in terms of like sort of the atmosphere that it's generating, but. I don't know. As I said, there doesn't seem to be any combat, so I'm not really sure how this is going to pan out. But I'm going to play more of it this week to see.
Maybe it's just a puzzle game, though.
Yeah, which I'd be fine with. I mean, I can't say it's particularly scary because it's not. It's I've not really been shocked or scared at, you know, at any point in it. But it's like sort of oozing atmosphere, which is kind of nice. It's yeah. So
does it do what's the interesting stuff it does with the two screen thing? Have you come across anything where you go, right, that's why it needed to show both sides of the game?
Not really. I mean, the only thing it does, the only things I've done in it so far has been solving puzzles, like where there's things on one screen but not on the other, and how that right. you know then connects the two things together.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like from the footage that I've seen. Yeah. It does kind of be like you're in two worlds at once, and you can interlink, and you do one thing on one screen, and it affects the other, and it kind of just looks like just look at one or the other. And do the bit that you need to do there, and then
I mean, is it like
look at the other one again?
I assume it's not just like there's a door in one world, but the lever to open it is in the other. Like, I assume it's more than that, right?
Why don't you say that, Sean? Because it has been like that so far.
Oh, fuck!
That's okay. kind of been what's happened. I mean, I've only got up to the point where I had what they call like the outer body experience, where you like leave your body and you go off, and that's just like single screen, like you go off on your own, like, you know, to somewhere. But that's as far as I've got. So I'm not, as I said, I'm not very far into it yet. But yeah, so far
he's not got anywhere near it. You haven't played this enough, and that's really disappointing. I think that's really disappointing. I was looking forward to hearing what you had to say about this.
I haven't played enough. There's only so many hours in the day, and I've been playing Hyrule Warriors instead.
Yes, mate.
Oh, that's the game you've been playing instead.
Yeah.
Good game.
It's 2021. There's not been a new release for, well, since Cyberpunk, and we didn't talk about that because
what's the point?
You know, it was a mess, right? None of us wanted to play it. So now a new game comes out, and James played 1 hour of that and gone back to Hyrule Warriors. Why?
Because I wanted to finish it. I like finishing games.
Fine. You're on a podcast, James.
Yeah.
Don't you think people want to hear what you thought of this new game?
Yeah, and I just said, I've just given like an outline of what I think of it so far.
Okay, all right.
Come on, look, you're having a go at me. Have a go at Matt over there. He hasn't played anything.
Yeah, he hasn't played anything, yeah.
That is a good point. It's a good
too busy making games, baby.
2 weeks. I thought Matt had just polished off a few JRPGs.
Yeah, as good as.
Is this... Well, hold on. You had a go at me for calling myself an architect even though I wasn't qualified. Are you now saying that you're developing games?
No, I'm not saying that.
What are you doing?
Just marketing the games.
God, why does anyone listen to this? Okay, James, so what do you think of Hyrule Warriors?
Well, I finished it over the weekend, which was good.
Amazing.
But I do have a bit of...
Tell me it's just 1 hour after what Sean played.
Please tell me it was...
What was your total play time?
My total play time was about 43 hours by the end of it, which is insane.
and it's amazing because it's so obvious within the first 8 hours how brilliant it is.
six. Does he add an extra hour every time this conversation comes up?
No, we established on the Game of the Year show that I had 3 hours on the demo, which carries over into the full game, which I then spent 5 hours on. Total of 8 hours.
No one established that five
we
established hours,
though. I put 64 hours into a demo and another 24.
We also don't know how long of that was just in menus. You know, sort of sitting there.
I mean, the map screen music is very good. It is good. Listen to that.
Yeah, you spent about 3 hours on the map.
So here's my first question. Was Sean correct in putting this in the Game of the Year show? Did he make the right decision after playing 8 hours of it?
No.
Sorry, Sean. It's a good game. I mean, I've played it for 43 hours, so it's a good game. Yeah. But it's certainly not like Game of the Year stuff. I mean, it's obviously
we had to pick loads of games. It was just one I wanted to highlight. It wasn't like, oh yeah, no, this is definitely it. This is definitely better than The Last of Us 2. Fuck off.
Well, that's what you're saying.
I mean, I would have tried to sincerely argue that if it had come to it, but yeah. Thank God it didn't.
Good. Okay, so go on, James.
I mean, it's good. I mean, I did enjoy it. I mean, the main story stuff is great. You know, it functions as a prequel to Breath of the Wild, although they do bottle it at the end in terms of like the story and like where they're going with that, which is a shame.
What does that mean, bottle it?
I can't say, because it will ruin the story.
No, hold on. Okay, so the question is, do they change what happens? Like, would Breath of the Wild have to be slightly different?
I'm not saying, Dave.
Why not?
Because it will ruin it for anyone who wants to play the game.
No one gives a fuck.
It will.
I mean,
not.
I'm not talking about it. Anyway. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's what I thought was happening, like, from the opening cutscene.
Oh, yeah. From my full playthrough.
Because I did mention this. But all right.
Sorry, Sean.
I'm just saying. It's just immediately clear how good the game is, that's all.
Oh, yes, I worked that out from my time with
When I first talked about this on the show, I said, I'm just going to say it because I said it last time, so fuck it. It implies, like, pretty early on that it's an alternate timeline. It's not.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It's not a direct prequel to... Okay, fine. No. You go on.
So, I mean, so that was good. I did enjoy that sort of stuff. But then I had a very strange relationship with this game like over this weekend because I played it with Asher a lot. Like, we played it in co-op a lot, and it works very well in that way. Although,
is it split screen?
Yes, it works in split screen. And there wasn't even...
And the frame rate holds up.
It was fine, yeah. It was. I mean,
it's not amazing to begin with, but yeah.
No, it's okay. It's perfectly like bearable. Like, it's better than playing on Google Stadia, put it that way. Like, you know, there may be a bit of slowdown occasionally, but it's not too bad.
Okay.
But then the thing is I got hooked on that map screen in trying to complete all the side missions that there were. And because what they do is, after every single like sort of story event, they then like give you like a whole bunch of like side missions to do. Now, the side missions are a bit of a disappointment in that
there's not really any story, and it kind of feels like they've just been generated as like, these are the assets, you've got to do this. It's like, yeah. You know, it's like roll the dice or whatever, like, and you've got to do.
Yeah, here's a bit of a level you've already done.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do all of it. Just kill some enemies in a bit of it, and then that's it. Yeah.
But then what they keep doing is they keep drip feeding these to you. And I kept on thinking, okay, well, I'm going to do these before I do the next story mission, because I want to like upgrade the characters, I want them to become, you know, stronger, you know, that kind of thing, so that, you know, the mm-hmm. other story missions are maybe a bit easier. But then the trouble is I didn't realise that there are hundreds of these things, you know, like these side missions, and it's insane, because what happens is you think that you've kind of, you've done them, you know, you've done it all, and then suddenly they'll pop up like another five or six will just like be added to the map. And you know that they're just going to be the same thing as before, and they're going to be very repetitive, and I'm going to be fighting exactly the same enemies again, but perhaps with a slightly tighter time limit or something like that. And I don't know why, but I just felt the need to just keep doing it and to keep crossing these blasting icons off. It's ridiculous. And it's like, I enjoyed the combat. It's a very good game. Like, the combat is really good. Like, it's really solid, particularly if you, like, choose, like, a very good team, you know, to sort of, to work with. But it is very repetitive, like, incredibly repetitive. And I kind of felt cheated by this, even though I was allowing to myself to be cheated, because at any point, I could have just said, enough. I don't need to do these, but I just couldn't stop myself, and I just kept doing them.
So what you're saying is that you went full Matt Murray.
Yeah,
is that, is
I think that's basically what happened, and it's crazy.
Sounds great.
Because I finished them all. Like, I did a lot of them, like, over the weekend. But the thing is, I know that there's more. I know that there's definitely more. Because they also, so they have two different types. They've got the missions where you like actually do fighting and stuff. Then they have these things called quests. And quests are where you just have to get, like, different ingredients or tools or whatever that you pick up when you're doing the fighting. And then you give them to people, and then it unlocks, like, bonuses. But some of these bonuses unlock extra missions. So I'm pretty certain that I've definitely missed a whole bunch of them as well. But I am not going back. I'm done. I did all the ones that I could possibly do, and I'm not going back to it now.
I am not going back.
Yeah, because I'm done. It was an enjoyable game, and I played it for a ridiculous amount of time. I mean, I felt ill, like, by Sunday evening, because I was just like, I just want it to be over. And, like, Chen, like, I finished it, and it had the credits and everything going, and then the credits finished, and then it popped up more of these fucking side missions as well, like, suddenly appeared. And then, so I was sitting there just thinking, I can't do this. But then, of course, I did. And I was sitting there, like, playing it, and then, like, Chen was like, I thought you'd finish this. And I said, I know, but I just want to finish it completely. And
but
so
it's just the best game released in 2020, that's all.
I mean, when you say it gets repetitive, at what hour mark would you say that the repetition become too much?
Probably about maybe 25 hours in, I'd say.
Right, you should have said 9 hours. Should have said 9 hours. okay, fine. I hate teeing him up for gags. Matt would have got that like that. okay, right. Is that all you've got to say?
It's
about
a good
Hyrule
game.
Warriors?
It's a good game. Just don't get obsessed. Because then it causes problems, and it's not so good. Yeah.
Okay. I will. Yeah, please do. We want to hear about that next week. Apparently, I mean, I'd like to talk about my obsession this week, because I have fully fallen into Hitman 3. Like, fully fallen into it. That
yes,
game,
mate,
is so good. It's so good. How far into are you, Sean?
I mean, as I say, I've been jumping around quite a bit. God, what have I done from Hitman 3 now? So I've done the first one, I've done Dartmoor, and then I think I've skipped Berlin, and then I've
Why
done...
Why did you skip Berlin?
Well, that's what I mean. I haven't skipped it as such. It was just, we're playing them in like a completely random order at this point.
Why?
Because I'm not asked about the story.
Okay. That's fair enough. But then what made you go... I'll skip Berlin. Did you?
No, that's what I mean. We didn't skip
it.
It was just one night. We thought the one in China looked cool, so we did that. And another night we thought Dartmoor looked cool, so we did that. And another night we did some levels from Hitman 2 or whatever. Right, you know, okay. We just like it's been totally random.
Okay, the big moment where I just went, yeah, I love this, mm-hmm. was the Dartmoor level.
Yeah.
And can I please tell my story? It's not going to spoil too much, I don't think. Please tell you, right, let me. If you don't want to hear about the Dartmoor level in Hitman 3, then please, you know, fast forward 5 to 10 minutes, whatever. Someone was saying, why don't you use SpoilerBot anymore? And the answer is because I don't edit as often as I used to, and I'm not editing this one, and others can't be bothered. But
throwing us under the bus there.
Yeah, well, it's the truth, isn't it?
Well, if you say SpoilerBot, we'll put SpoilerBot.
Suddenly, I'm not free to edit tomorrow, Dave. I think
that's... Hold on. Slow down. Matt, I've legitimately asked you to use SpoilerBot 2 or 3 times in the past, and you said I'm not doing that.
That
don't act like
right.
I'm being an arsehole here.
Yeah, you're kind of being a bit of an arsehole.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's my natural state. But anyway, so for those of you that don't know much about the Dartmoor level and you want to hear more about it, so it's kind of completely different. Although you've got your targets, you start off in a level and you've got your targets and you've got to kill them and get out. This time there's a different objective, but I assume they've done this in the past where you've also got to locate and get hold of a case file, right? Have they done that before?
Yeah, they've done similar things, yeah.
Okay, cool. But the thing here is that one of the routes you can take, because you can break into the house, it's this big stately home and there's lots of rich people milling about in there, but you can't just break in, grab the case file, kill your target and get out, right? Like you can with any Hitman level. But with this one, it kind of pushes you towards learning about the people in the house.
Can I stop you? I'm pretty sure you told this last week, didn't you?
I haven't told you how it ended, and that's okay. I'm just building up to that, okay, right? So I'm giving the background. As I said last week, there's a murder mystery involved, but it's a little bit more complicated
than that. We've all seen Knives Out here, right?
Yeah.
No.
I have not, no.
Okay, because I haven't played this game, but this sounds, that's exactly like Knives Out.
It is very Knives Out.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, okay, fine. Well, I don't know the reference, but fine. So you go in and there's a family that's gathered to attend a funeral for their mum who owns the house, right? But the moment you arrive, you work out just by listening to people that the mum's not actually dead and she faked her own death. They've found out that morning that she's actually alive. But what has happened is her husband...
Brother.
Not their dad. Oh, is it her brother? I thought it was her husband.
Brother.
Oh, right, okay. that completely ruins my point. But her brother has been murdered overnight, right? So although she's not dead, there has been a murder, and they've hired this...
Well,
because
they don't know it's a murder, do they? It's made to look like a suicide, but she's not convinced.
Yes.
So she, yeah.
Okay. So they've hired this PI to come in and check everything out. And as I said last week, you can take out the PI and take on their persona and walk about the house, right? Mm. I got obsessed, Sean, with trying to work out what was going on. I went through every room. I looked at every piece of evidence. I was piecing it all together. And, you know, it's a little bit of a cheat because the game crosses people off the list for you. It's not like you have to work it out and piece together the clues. You find the right clue and it narrows it down for you. And, you know, so it's
yeah, you're not
bit
like
more
taking notes
that.
Or anything, are you? It's all
no.
sort of neatly put together.
It works it all out for you. Yeah. But I was still obsessed. And I got to a point where they said, well, you worked it out, Agent 47. Well done. You've got enough evidence. Go to the butler and show your findings. Or you can just continue to explore. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why have they said that? Because that's not the answer, is it? That's not the answer. Mm-hmm. So I carried on. And then I found another piece of evidence. And they went, oh, so that was wrong. This is actually who we think it is. And you've got more than enough evidence now. Go for it. And I'm like, nope. There's definitely something missing here. Because not everyone's crossed off the list. I don't know exactly what the motive was or how the murder went down. So I need to find out more. So I'm looking around, I'm going into different rooms, right? And then all of a sudden, the mother dies. And it says, well done, you've got your target. Have you heard this story, Sean?
So this is what I did, yeah.
Oh, it happened to you as well?
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, the game's glitched. And here's my initial thoughts. The game's glitched and she's dead. And that's really annoying because I didn't get to the end of this murder and I didn't get to present my case to her and stuff like that. And then secondly, I thought maybe because I spent a long time walking around that place, Sean, I thought maybe she died of old age or something.
It's like Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah, I took too long to work it out. And then I sort of turned the game off and I sat and I thought about it and I thought, what did I do something that could possibly have triggered her death? And then it hit me that a while before, when looking for evidence, I broke into the greenhouse, mm-hmm. and in the greenhouse, someone was startled and walked off. One of the characters that I'd been learning about startled and walked off. And as I was looking around, I found a chemistry set and a book open to some how to create some poison. And I sat there and I thought, right, okay, maybe if I can work out how to create the poison, I can work out what the character would have had to have gone through to create this poison to kill her brother. So I fixed the chemistry set and went off to try and find ingredients and tried to work out how it was done. Couldn't find out how to do it, so went along my way. And then I thought, I fixed the chemistry set, and there was a character in there doing something that looked startled. So what has happened is that I fixed the chemistry set for him, they've returned to the greenhouse, made the poison, and murdered my target, like, without me doing anything. And I just thought, that, although that is not the ending I wanted, that's not what I've been working for the past 2 to 3 hours to try and work out who the murderer was. I'm kind of happy with how that ended because it completely blew my mind. Yeah. And I just thought, that opens up the idea that you're in this setting and no matter where you are or what you're doing, things are going on in that environment. And whether you see it or not, doesn't matter. Characters are working stuff out and doing stuff without you even knowing about it. And I just thought, this is brilliant. This is wonderful. So I've left it there. I will go back and do that mission again. But right now, that's what happened for me in that mission. And I'm quite happy with that tale. Yeah. And I just thought, do you know when you think you've got a game sussed in your head? And you're like, I know the mechanics here, I know what we're doing. And then something pops and you go, that opens up possibilities for so much more than I thought this game was capable of. Mm. And I'm sure there are people that have played these games far more than I have, that are going, yeah, that's it, man. I'm sure that's going on. But for me, I was just kind of like, wow, what an interesting way to finish that off. And what a naturally organic way to have that story. You know what I mean? That's what it was.
Yeah,
I was like,
it's like, because every level in a Hitman game is like a puzzle box, essentially, isn't it? You're prodding at things, yeah. You're moving levers around, seeing what happens. Not literally, I mean, just like, you know, metaphorically, it's like, it's just all these like potential things you can prod and there are consequences, and then saying, okay, and that's changed that to this, and now I can get in this building or go here or get, you know, have contact with this person or whatever. But it's like, but each interaction usually just results in sort of one result, right? So you've managed to, you know, kill this one guy, take his clothes, that means you get access to this one additional area, and then that's, you know, or whatever. Whereas this really felt like an instance of like your interaction is needed. It's not something that just happens regardless of what you do, but it's you doing one particular thing that then sets off a long series of events that, like, yeah, depending on how you end up viewing it as a player, I suppose it could just happen and you just be like, what the fuck? Why? How did that happen? But actually, all the backing is there for you to be like, right, no, I know who's done this and I know how and I know why. It's really satisfying.
And you've also got the idea that someone could work out why that character was in that greenhouse.
Yeah.
And what was going on and purposely fix that equipment.
Exactly, yeah, like engineer
what
it
was going to
yeah.
happen.
Yeah. Yeah, because yeah, I already had her pegged as the suspect.
Did you find out though, did you work out the whole mystery?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so yeah. You had the concrete case and but you didn't get the chance to present it.
So I did, but I accused someone else.
What? Okay. I don't know why, but...
Which was interesting, but yeah.
Okay.
It was going to be a sort of, oh, well, I'll save my game, try this, see what happens, and then go, like, you know, roll back to my save and then try something. But I ended up enjoying what happened enough. And then that led to getting this, this ending where you don't actually do the killing.
I need to go back and do that more.
I honestly wonder if this is going to need a spoiler cast at some point.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking the same. Like, I want to do a whole podcast on it, but probably not. I'm also... So, from there, I went on to the Berlin level, which is feels like more of a traditional Hitman level, rather than anything too clever going on. But, at the same time, it still surprised me along the way. And I went into it going, I don't know if I really want to do this. Like, I don't know if I want to do this level. This is a lot more like... How do I get this character into a quiet location to kill them and end the mission? Right, that's how it felt.
So I've not played Berlin yet, but I have heard apparently there's like a really radical difference early on. Like, I think it's like depending on how you enter the environment, like massively changes how it plays out.
I could see why that's the case, and we should talk afterwards.
Okay.
but yeah, like the way it ended for me was a big surprise, and I really enjoyed going around that sort of nightclub area, and I've just started the one set in China, and that is just, I mean, that was a mind fuck because it was like so much is going on here you don't even know. And I've approached this as more of a right, let's kill our way in and kill our way out, like let's really try. And you know, I've been caught a few times and managed to escape, you know. I'm treating it like that because it seems like there's so much going on in that level that trying to control that is going to be near impossible for me, so we'll see how that one pans out.
Can I just ask, goes so places as well, sorry, go on.
So you talked about like going back and sort of re-seeing things again. This does feel like the kind of game where you can do that and it doesn't kind of ruin, you know, like the fact that this is like your playthrough.
So the whole point is, so whenever you finish a mission, it comes up with this massive grid of like all the things you could have done, right? And there'll be like 50 odd of them and you'll have done 5, right?
Yeah. So it's like, it's like Detroit become human.
Yes, but good.
But good.
Yeah. So yeah,
the narrative doesn't change, but it feels like you're missing out on moments. So it feels like playing through an Uncharted game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stick with me, Sean. Imagine playing through an Uncharted game and you see all these brilliant set pieces, but at the end of it, it says you only saw like an eighth of the set pieces that are in this game. If you replay, you can see more set pieces. That's what it feels like. So it doesn't feel like it's like, oh, this has changed moral choices, took me in this direction. But it's more that there's so much shit happening in a level that you've only seen a few of the bits that's going on.
Yeah.
You've only understood the mechanics and the characters and stuff to such a small amount.
So it's mostly mechanical, though, like the stuff that you haven't seen rather than like story-based.
No. It's story-based within that level, right? Yeah. So there's stuff happening in that level that's a narrative contained within that environment. So it isn't like a story that drags on to mission, and it doesn't affect what happens later in the game. But there are bits and pieces going on within a level that you will only find if you're either following a particular, if you're following a particular path, or if you've decided to explore that area and sit down and take in the information that's going on around you, you can find out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? For example, there is a, no, that's not a great example. It's hard to explain, isn't it, really? Because it's not really like any other game that I've played.
It really makes me think of. Yeah, I think this is like become a relatively common thing now, but I remember years ago hearing about it was like a live theatre thing in London where you just went into a building and like this theatre performance is just taking place in the building over 2 hours, but you're like, there's no stage.
Yeah,
right?
I've been on a couple of those. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And it kind of feels like that. And it's so you might play through it once. And you will, you know, you'll perceive a series of events over the hour or two that you spend in the level. But then to go back and be like, right, well, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go here instead, or I'm going to try, you know, sort of follow this character or do this.
Yeah.
And you end up just seeing another side of it.
Yeah, and it's, so, and it's designed for, example, for you to do that. In example of that, the one that I went to, the most memorable one that I went to, was called The Office Party. When you walked in, they said, okay, you work for this department, you work for this department, blah, 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 and they split you up into departments. And then we all went off into our department within this sort of office building, and it was the end of the workday, and your manager comes in and tells you, you know, about the office party and everything. And what you didn't know is that some of the people in your department were actors as well. Right. So as you went to this office party, you were just drinking and chatting at the bar with your mates or whoever you went to, and then something might happen at the bar, but only you would pick up on that. And there's all sorts of other stories going on, and the speeches beforehand. Like, I think we found out eventually that a couple of the departments were being... Someone just dropped out?
No, it's Craig.
Craig dropped out.
Craig has been a fucking nightmare, isn't
it? Craig is not going to be a permanent member of the team going forward.
So, yeah, like, you might have seen a fight at the bar that most of the party didn't even see, or an exchange between characters that most of the place didn't see. And then you start, like, following that story, and then it comes together at the end. And, like, we later found out that a couple of the groups that were put in departments were being made redundant. So they got a very different speech than what we did at the start. So it kind of makes you think, I wonder how it would have been if I was standing there at that time rather than at the bar at that time. Like, what would I have heard, and what would I have picked up? It's more like that. I think that's spot on.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that. So, yeah, you can see why people replay these levels over and over again.
Yeah.
I certainly can't wait to go back to Dartmoor because that is going to be great.
Because the other thing I was wondering, because I know that it hasn't got a lot of, like, levels. There's not, like, a lot of, like, areas.
Six, isn't it?
Yeah. But then I've heard that they're massive. Is that the case?
Yeah, they're huge and they're just so dense. Like, you know, so Dave and I have talked about what I think is sort of intended as the sort of canonical way to do one level. But, like... I mean, for I think with when we played it, that was like 2 hours in total, and again, that's, and you know, we've only done a fraction of all the things you can do in that level. So we're looking forward to going back at some point.
Well, the other thing as well, I don't know how this has happened, and I proved it to Sean. I don't own Hitman 2, but for some reason, I've got the full game on the version that I've got.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
Yeah, really bizarre.
Because you can play 1, 2, and 3, can't you, through this?
If you own them.
Right.
But I don't. But I've got of Hitman 2
in
on
some,
there.
Have you, yeah,
maybe
like,
I've
is
got it,
was it not just maybe like a drunken sale purchase years ago?
No, because if you go to your purchases on your thing, it's not there. It's not listed.
Maybe I've got it today, because we're doing game show, aren't we?
Yeah, and it would show up on my purchases.
Interesting.
But you know, more importantly, like, I mean, I played Hitman 1 on the PlayStation, I think. So that's not on there, but Hitman 2 is for some reason. It's weird, it's bizarre.
I mean, definitely, but go back, like, we, you know, it's not like you go back to 2 and think, oh, actually this is a bit worse. Like, there's some really good stuff in there from what I've played.
Yeah, so. That's got is that the one with Sapienza in it that everyone talks about?
No, Sapienza's the first one.
Right, okay. There is one level in Hitman 2 that everyone was raving about, because I saw it and I thought, oh, good, I'll get to play that. So we'll do that at some point. But yeah, Hitman, what a game. Like, really, I've already started my list, put it that way. I'm looking forward to Game of the Year 2021, and so, that is already on there.
Can I ask one last question? So I think the thing with this is, you see, I've never, as I said, I've never played one of these. This is a fine place to jump in, though, yeah, if I wanted to.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't think it really matters.
Yeah. So it wouldn't have to play one first or anything like that. I could just
No, I wouldn't.
Well, so as I say, like, I literally played a couple of missions of Hitman 1 when it first came out, and then nothing since. And now, yeah, I've jumped in on 3, and I've got access to games, you know, levels from all 3 games, and we are literally doing them pretty much randomly. There is a story to follow through if you want. But I was told.
I believe there's a tutorial video as well to teach you the basics. Like, I didn't watch it because I'd already played some Hitman 1. But I'm pretty sure there's a tutorial video. But James, that opening level really does, you know, it's real simple compared to what you find yourself in later on. But, you know, they get away with it because it's so fun.
Yep.
You know, it's an exciting setting and there's so much going on that although it is scaled down compared to the later levels, definitely... You know, the second and the fourth level. It's, you've got to play it. You'd love it. Because, you know, I'm not a stealth guy. I hate stealth games. It feels
not a stealth
like
game,
the stealth
it?
In here is not really stealth.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, it's not like you're hiding in a bush and waiting for someone to come over or whatever. It's like you can manipulate NPCs more than enough to make it not a problem.
Hmm.
But
it's more of
more
a puzzle
about
game.
Exploration and finding things. And yeah. Yeah. And when your heart starts going, when you're about to make it like a major kill, it's so good.
That's yeah, because it's such an unusual structure for a game, isn't it? That, you know, obviously most games that involve killing is the main thing you are doing, whereas a Hitman level can be literally 90 minutes to 2 hours of, like, just sort of tweaking things and figuring things out and working your way towards one final button press. That's the actual
well, following,
kill.
Following the path of your target just to see if they walk under anything that you can push. it's stuff like that. And also go into it knowing that it knows how dumb it is. Because I think that is important to note. Yep. Like, there's a bit in one of the levels that I saw where they went, you're saying that if we put too much electricity into this, then the whole thing explodes? Yes, but we're both professionals. There's no way that that would happen. Okay, well, you know, I'm still a bit nervous about it. Don't be. We've been trained in this. There's no way we would put too much electricity into this system. That is brilliant. That's exactly the sort of humour that this game has played on.
And,
like,
and, you know, because obviously, yeah, we now know that IO Interactive are doing a James Bond game. So 47, the guy you play as, the hitman, when he is impersonating someone else and he's talking to characters, you know, as someone else, and he's just constantly dropping, like, shit puns, like, alluding to the fact that he's a fucking assassin, but without giving it away. Obviously, we the player, know what he's doing. And it's like, it's just, yeah, it's just like, God, their James Bond game's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I can't wait to see what they come up with, but yeah, Hitman continues to be brilliant. I have played another game this week, though.
Dave, yeah, you should absolutely watch Knives Out, by the way. It's an amazing movie.
Oh, yeah,
it's a film.
It's a film. So good. Daniel Craig's in it. It's basically a murder mystery. It's like a Cluedo, the movie. It's absolutely fantastic.
It's directed by Ryan Johnson as well.
Yeah. Ryan Johnson has got
the good Star Wars film.
Jamie Lee Curtis in it.
Okay,
Daniel Craig.
I'll give it a go because we've been watching films recently. Yeah. Just okay.
It's my choice
next time because Joe made me watch a film called Blended the other day, and that was as if someone said, "Does this work? This scene doesn't matter. Let's move on." But I think she owes me one on that one. Right, the other game I've been playing is a game that, I think when it was announced, I was very cynical about and got shot down. Balan Wonderworld, it's called. The new creation from Yuji Naka and the guy that did the music to Dreams. Nights into Dreams. Has anyone else played this?
When I saw that you had, I quickly downloaded the demo and played it before we started recording.
Okay. Do you also agree that it's possibly one of the worst things that you've ever played in years?
It's like reminded me that, do you know what, even most of the games I would consider bad over the last few years, like, they were fine. Like, we've had it good. We've had it pretty good games-wise for a long time now, and this feels like a throwback to when games were really, really bad.
It sounds like a James Farley stream.
I genuinely believe, right, two things. The first, no one should ever, ever get nostalgic for Sega ever again. They just shouldn't. Because, I mean, that's exactly... when they showed that initial trailer and everyone was going, oh, I'm getting all the Knights feels and stuff, and I'm just going, okay, but look at the bits where they're showing gameplay. Like, that is concerning.
And to be clear, like, I was one of the ones defending it. I thought, like, the look of it was, you know, like a really pleasant throwback.
But
none of those games look good, like the 3D one. Come on.
They really
do. I mean, like, stuff like Billy Hatcher would look, that looked terrible as well. That was not a great game either.
Why do people sit up and listen when Yuji Naka announces a game? Like, why... Why Sonic is the thing, natural reaction to go, oh, Eugene? Yeah, but Do you think Sega are going to come out at some point and go, Yuji Naka has never actually worked here? Like, do you think that's going to come out? Because I think about his other games, and I just think, since Sonic 1, what has he done? Anyone?
We're all furiously Googling at the moment.
I mean, he did do Billy Hatcher, right? But and some people say they like that, but now I'm questioning them.
I mean, we need to talk about why it's so shit, don't we?
Ivy the Kiwi was another one that he put forward.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That classic. Yes, we need to talk about it. So what is Balan Wonderland? Wonderworld? It's a 3D platformer.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. It's a really bad 3D platformer.
Yeah, so the first thing that struck me, so there's the very overlong intro sequence that I just ended up skipping because I was bored watching it. And then it throws you into like this little hub world, doesn't it? And immediately, like pushing the stick to move the character.
Forward. Yeah, you go, oh my God.
What the fuck? So basically, your character just moves incredibly slowly, but while doing like an animation as if they're fucking sprinting. So the feet are just like sliding on the floor as they're just.
Yep.
That's a very like Sonic Adventure kind of thing, though, that is.
but that's not acceptable.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, at least with Sonic Adventure, it's like, so, you keep pushing the stick and Sonic does speed up.
The best way of describing it, it feels like someone made it in Roblox.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like a user created thing.
Yeah.
And they went, this will do. Fuck it. It moves. That'll do. Go on.
And then, so you just, like, you know, you're in this sort of hilly, you know, verdant hub area, and you're kind of like, I can't believe how little fun it is to run and jump around this. This is atrocious. And then you get into a level.
Did you find it weird that every button is a jump button?
Yes. Like, what's that about?
So A, B, X and Y, and
triggers.
Both shoulder buttons are the jump button.
Yep.
It's... What's bizarre? What's
I mean, I suppose from an accessibility point of view, fine. But
every button, Sean.
Yeah.
every button.
So yeah, and then you go into the first level, and it's like, what is going on in it? There's like a farmer guy hanging around.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's this farmer guy dancing.
Yeah.
And if you get within 3 meters of him, he just disappears. He just goes.
Yeah.
Like, as if they went, this model is so bad.
Yeah.
That and then we don't want them to get too close to it.
And then you get like is it a costume or is it I can't remember, but you can become a character that is definitely not the Tasmanian Devil. Isn't it? He's just called like Whirlwind Wolf or something.
And you get the
costume or the character, whatever it is, and you kind of go like, oh, okay, so this is where it turns out that like the normal human guy controls like shit, but then you get all these other abilities, and suddenly, no, it's the exact same controls. It's just that when you jump, he spins and does a little tornado and can damage enemies and blocks.
Can I ask a question?
Well, this
is,
yes.
is the
this
character
is it. Hold
design.
On, hold on. No, go on.
I was going to say, is the character design on these... is it as good as Big the Cat from Sonic Adventure?
It's absolutely shocking.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
terrible.
Shocking. There's one power-up thing that extends your legs like those... you know those Mario... the things in Mario that are in that plant level? You chuck your hat on and it extends its legs
up. Brilliant, though.
And
yeah,
you can use it to get to high... Do you know how fun that feels to use?
Yeah.
Like, you extend it up and then he does that little hop. And the momentum and then pushing stuff up with your head and stuff. You instantly get it. You instantly understand why you want to be that in that specific situation. It's got that in the second level, but you can't really do anything with it. Like, I thought, okay, now I can get up to these higher blocks. Nope. No, it just won't let you go on top of them. So I'm like, why am I this? Why am I this thing? What advantage is it giving me?
Yeah.
The music is horrendous.
Yeah, it looks visually, horrible. It's just the lighting is completely flat. It's just somehow bland and garish at the same time to look at. We're playing on the Switch. The frame rate's terrible in it. Frequently, you can see it drop in the resolution to try and manage that, and still failing. Like it's just really jerky and horrible at times.
Game runs Mario Odyssey, that console.
Yeah. So
there's nothing even close to that.
Like, I cannot believe who signed off on releasing this as a pre-release demo to like show off.
the game. It's absolutely shocking. Like last few years, you know, there's been a lot of talk about critics who just shit on games and forget that, you know, people worked on them, and I think I've tried to take that on board and not just slag stuff off. But I honestly, this is just absolutely shocking that they are going to charge money for this in March.
This is out in March. This is out next month.
Yeah.
Sean, I know what you're saying, and you've got to think of the developers. No one wants to make a bad game. Devs, you've got to think of devs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Right, fine. But that stops at the fact that they're putting this out and asking for money.
Yeah.
And not only that, they're putting it out on the sole basis that it's the Sonic guy.
Yeah.
Creating something that looks a little bit like a beloved game, Nights into Dreams.
Yeah,
and
God, the bit where
I've
you fucking sorry,
a lot of people arguing.
The bit where you find Balan, who you know is the character who looks a bit like Nights
from Nights into Dreams, and you find him, and he's like, "Oh, now there's a bit where you can play as me," and you're like, "Fucking hell, right, here we go. Is this going to be like a Nights into Dreams level?"
And it's just a shit QuickTime event.
Yep. What about the bit where you find a block and it's got like a keyhole in it and you're like, oh, God, right, okay. So here's what I'm supposed to be doing. Find the key, unlock the thing, and that gives you the costume. Fine. Mm-hmm. And you turn a corner and the key's just sitting there.
Yeah.
You go, okay.
Because it does and that once, think, like right at the start, and you think, okay. It's teaching the mechanic. But then that's just it, isn't it? That's pretty much how it plays out every single time. You're like, oh, right, there's the key.
I've seen a lot of people say, all right, fair enough. But you do know that this is maybe this is for kids and not 30-year-old men.
I hate
right?
that. Go on.
No, I think that can be an acceptable discussion to have because, for example, Kirby. I think Kirby games are bad games. They are bad games. No, I genuinely do. However, kids love them, right? Okay, so fine, I'm happy with that, that's fine. But here, there's two things. Firstly, Harry played it and said it was totally rubbish when I asked him what he thought of it. And second thing, how many of these kids are going, right, imagine I would be shocked if Harry turned around to me and went, man, I'm getting the Nights into Dreams vibes from this. Oh, they've really nailed it. You know what I mean? You can't play the nostalgia card and the this is for kids card. You can't do that. It doesn't work. I just can't wrap my head around it. Like, if David Cage announces a game tomorrow, what sort of reactions are you going to get? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, everyone's ready to knock him down.
They're going to come out with their knives and they're going to slate it, right? Mm. Okay. And whether that's fair or not, like that, that's... could be fair, whatever, okay? But Yuji Naka announces this, and what is that based on? What is the whole, Yuji Naka, oh, he's bringing out a new god, what is that based on? Because I look at his track record, and I just see a lot of shit on there, and then I play this and just go, this might be the worst game that I've played for a long, long time. And to be fair, you know, it's a demo. Like the game, the full game, it's not going to be any different. I'm pretty confident of that. It's out next month, for fuck's sake. But I played this and I just thought, this is about as bad as it gets. Like, honestly. It's like they ported over a bad iPhone game.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. Play it for yourself, because I was truly shocked by how bad this game was.
It is absolutely shocking. I mean... you know, obviously everyone listening to this is probably going to go and play it out of morbid curiosity. The demo's on everything if you want to have a go. I'm almost tempted to try it on the Xbox just to see what the difference is like performance wise but I mean, even if it wouldn't
dropping frames or anything.
No, okay.
But I was kind of offended that the power of the Xbox Series X was pushing this out. It's kind of like, this is actually offensive to the amount of technology that's in that box.
Yep. It feels like something that one or two people have made in their spare time, except even that's not fair, because
games that one or two people have made in their spare time have been, you know, fucking World of Goo or whatever. They, you know, there's fucking loads of great games. So I mean, it's
Feel like there's really not been any movement since Sonic Adventure here? Like
in... Oh, it's worse than Sonic Adventure.
It's worse than Sonic Adventure.
I would play Sonic Adventure over this any day. Yeah. Like, it's unbelievable.
At least you knew what you were doing in Sonic Adventure.
Oh, I'm not sure about like, that. The first level, maybe. But after that, it starts to fall apart quite quickly.
I don't know, man. You need to play this then, and then you can comment. Because I just want to hear what you think of it.
I think I'll download it.
And also, Matt, I want you to play it as well. Because then hopefully this puts an end to Sega vibes. That phrase. I never want to hear that phrase again. I never want to hear Sega vibes again.
Well, but this game doesn't affect the fun times I have when I was younger.
It actually might.
Doesn't affect mine either.
That's how bad it is.
It affects the nostalgia. No, it doesn't. It affects the excitement for harking back to that nostalgia. Like, the nostalgia was still there.
Yeah, but nostalgia's for the 16-bit era, not for this. Like, this is going back to, like, you know, Saturn and Dreamcast and all that kind of era.
Because I still legitimately love Nights into Dreams. Mm. Like, I don't know if I'd play it now, I'd still be in love with it. But I still look back on that game very fondly. And that's not... I don't allow myself to let this destroy the feelings that I had about that game. But what I will say is that I'm never going to go, I'm getting real Sega vibes from this. I'm really excited. That's never going to be a phrase that I'll come out with again. Yuji Naka's coming out with a game. Oh, right. Let's pre-order that. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Just terrible. Matt, you need to play it.
It says on everything. You said a demo, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it on Switch, get it on Xbox, PlayStation. If you can find your PlayStation.
Get it out
from under the stairs.
It's in the loft.
Well, fucking hell, you want to consult a structural engineer about that then, Matt. Don't leave it on there for too long.
No, we had to get an extension. I had to get a doorman fitted.
Extra beams.
James needs to stream this.
I'd like to see a James stream this, definitely. Just to see his face. Yeah. I mean, camera closer to your face.
I could stream the demo, maybe. I could certainly do
that. Yeah, well, obviously. I'm not saying buy it. Jesus Christ.
Can you get a heart rate monitor like that Matt had?
Do you know, I'll tell you what is quite funny. I was just looking at YouTube, like, video of this, and on the Nintendo UK one, they've got a Balan Wonderworld demo available now video. You click on it, and it's got, like, it just says comments are turned off. And then, so I was just thinking, is that just a general Nintendo thing? And then you look at their other videos. No, the comments are on everything else. It's just, and then also the thumbs down are quite high at the moment. Yeah.
It's absolutely shocking. Yep. Absolutely shocking. I didn't think it was possible to make games this bad.
No.
No. Genuinely.
There's better stuff made by, like, you know, like on Dreams, for example.
Yeah.
Absolutely, like, you know, there's way better stuff just on there, which, again, people, you know, not only have people made probably on their own in their spare time, but just on a game built to make games in. Like, it's... I cannot believe how bad this is.
Do you know what kills me as well?
Yeah.
I know we're going to get emails that say, well, I played it and I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't email in with that, because it's just going to make me block your email. I think... I can't have someone come at me and say it's actually a really good game.
I might download this and just stream it sometime this week. Just like, you know, just a one-off.
Where'd you get that idea from?
Well, just from what you were just saying. You know, it's might do that.
Well, when we were saying you should stream it.
Yeah, and so I'm saying I might do that. What's wrong with that?
Okay, cool. It's just the way you said it, like it was your idea. That was a bit weird. Yeah, I would love to see that, James. You need to play this game.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
And so do you, Matt, because it might put an end to it. I think it might put an end to it.
Yeah, but the way Matt's feeling at the moment, it might just stop him playing games forever.
It might put an end to everything.
He's practically stopped playing games forever anyway, Sean. That's true. So, you know. So that's Balan Wonderworld. Available. Fucking hell. The demo's available now. Go and play that.
Check it out.
if you hate yourself. Sean, have you got any other games to talk about?
I've got one more. It's Sea of Thieves.
Is it Sea of Thieves? Oh,
yes.
Great. Okay.
So, obviously, you know, the last few weeks I've been like, oh, I've been playing more Sea of Thieves, I'm not going to talk about it. I am going to talk about it this week because the new season is out. Or rather,
the first season is out. So even though, obviously, you know, the game's been out a couple of years, and it's seen loads of updates and stuff and new content added and what have you, this is them now fully switching to a season model a la Fortnite or Destiny 2 or whatever, which is interesting because obviously they're trying to address, you know, structural issues with it. They're trying to, you know, like people like me who've started relatively recently, you know, trying to keep us, you know, involved. And it is very interesting what they've done with it. I mean, it's interesting. It's also like the most obvious thing they could have done with it in that they've basically added a battle pass style thing. So there is a, you know, a track of like 50 levels with stuff to unlock with each level, and if you pay money, there's extra things that you unlock along the way. What's weird is, like, so you pay like £8.39 or something, and you know they've said, oh yeah, it's, you know, it's £8.39, but if you get all the way to level 50, you unlock like 40 quid's worth of, you know, stuff that would cost you 40 quid if you were to just buy it, you know, from the real money shop in the game. However, it's only like one in every like 10 levels has like a paid for thing that you earn. Whereas, you know, like Fortnite or Destiny 2, it's like every level there's a free thing and there's a paid for thing. So it's a bit weird that the paid for stuff is sort of really sparse in that, but it is completely optional. And obviously, because of the nature of the game, it's not providing any sort of advantage or anything. It's stuff that, you know, really doesn't matter either way. I've paid up for it just because the amount of time I've put into the game recently, I'm just like, they can have £8. I really don't mind. But what's interesting is the way you rank up is they've added this new renown system. So previously, you know, there's the different trading companies, ones like the PvP one, one's the PvE one, one's the treasure finding one, and then one's the Merchant Alliance. And you have like a, you know, a rank with each of those, which affects what sort of quests you can get and what have you. So that's still there, but they've added this additional renown system where there's just now like pages and pages and pages of these like random little challenges or like little objectives you can tick off. And this is to address the fact that, you know, like I've moaned before about how you can have like a pretty good session and then some dickheads, like, you know, other players will show up and blow your ship up and you didn't get to cash in any of the treasure you found or whatever. So it's, you know, even if you've enjoyed yourself, in terms of rewards, you've wasted an evening, right? So in trying to address that, the idea is you, like, all these objectives, like, the vast majority of them are just things that you will do anyway. So there'll be things like sail for 10 nautical miles, which is, you know, nothing, or land on an island for the first time, or you know, catch a chicken or whatever, stuff that you'll just do anyway. So it's kind of like pretty much every session you're going to end up, whether you're aiming to do it or not, you're going to end up doing, like, ticking some of these objectives off, and you're going to rank up your renown, you're going to unlock stuff. So it's to try and address that thing of like, look,
that's what I'll never understand with Sea of Thieves.
What?
Like, it's, as you said, it's stuff that doesn't really affect it. It's not like, you know,
yeah, it's all cosmetic
stuff that doesn't matter, which is fine, you know, which I understand because that's how they do it in Rocket League.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the stuff, and admittedly, I did it very early on, the stuff that I saw when I was playing it was very, like, basic. It's a different colour hat.
Oh no, there's tons of different cool stuff to unlock now.
Like what?
It's still all cosmetic stuff. It's just that the design work that's gone into them is really cool. Like that, you know, like I've got my eye on like certain outfits I want or certain like customizations to my ship or whatever that I'm like working towards.
Okay.
So, but I mean, yeah, but it's still that sort of uneasy thing of like that stuff is cool, but it's not really the point because it's just fundamentally enjoyable anyway to play. So I'm now at the point where I don't actually really mind if I lose everything that I've got in a session. Like it's cool to unlock stuff, but it's not the main reason to play it anymore. So that new system is interesting. As I say, the paid for stuff is a bit sparse for my liking. I wouldn't blame anyone who carries on playing and just doesn't really bother, like, you know, doing the paid Battle Pass, whatever it is they've called it. Things like Plunder Pass or something. So that's fine. But they've also added... So the Merchant Alliance is one of these factions, one of these trading companies you can do missions for. And they are, like, or until now, have been far and away the least popular because they're just quite boring, right? Because they're... Whereas the others are like, hey, you're hunting skeletons or you're going looking for treasure or, you know, finding, like, a hidden vault with treasure in it or whatever. The Merchant Alliance is like, deliver some crates of plants or some bottles of rum to another island. And that's kind of been it. They're really dull. So they've added this new quest type for the Merchant Alliance, which is basically where they just go, right, there was a ship that was supposed to deliver this stuff to this island. Here's the route it was supposed to take. It didn't arrive. Go find it. So you get this map that's like, well, here's the route they're supposed to take. And you go, okay, so we'll fucking sail off in that direction. And then you are looking for signs of like where the ship has been. So you're looking for like stuff, you know, bobbing around in the ocean or whatever, which is, you know, like supplies they've dropped or whatever. And you're finding clues. And then you open it up and it'll be like a, you know, from like the ship's log. And it'll be someone saying like, oh, fuck's sake. Well, I didn't say fuck's sake, but, you know, oh, fuck's sake, we've got to go to like this island next, apparently. So like, right, okay, we'll follow that there. And then you find another clue and then you're sort of piecing together the route that this ship took and what happened to it and then eventually finding it and getting all the shit out of it and taking it back to sell it. And it's really good fun. Like, you know, I mentioned with like the Tall Tales stuff, that game is at its best when it's less explicit about what it is you're trying to find and you're having to actually work out clues and stuff. It's a bit like how, you know, like with Destiny, like really got better when it was taking some of the raid stuff and putting it into strikes. Kind of that, basically. It's taking some of that high-end stuff and sort of applying it to regular voyages.
That's what these games need to do. They do, yeah. Like, they can't just like rely on just basic bug standards, either going and discovering or shooting or whatever, or telling you where to go and then you go and do it. It needs to have that puzzle element to it.
Exactly.
Or it needs to have that little bit of mystery about what you're doing. So we can work it out. Like, yeah, that's the whole teamwork thing.
Exactly. And it's so brilliantly done in Sea of Thieves. Now, like, this isn't part of the new stuff, but we did another Tall Tale the other night that was all about this guy who was an astronomer. And yeah, so you have to do this whole chain of things where it's all about navigating by the stars. And you get like, you get this book that basically has this like this old fairy tale in it. And you're sort of reading through it, like, what the fuck is this? And then you realize it's talking about the like things that happened with like the, you know, the different constellations, like talking about them as if they were characters. And it's like a narrative that you can follow. Right, fuck, so now we need to, right, so we need to get here, then follow the crab constellation to here, and then and it's,
and then
it's
the Big Dipper is he had a row with a bear, is it? There's a bear one.
Ursa Major, yeah.
He had a bear.
And the Big Dipper had a fight. Is that what we're talking?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that's how it works. I think that's the ancient constellation story.
And it was just great. It was just proper good fun.
Are you still getting robbed and stuff? I want to hear a story
not
about
as much,
you getting robbed.
Not as much, because I think we're better now. Like, especially when there's three of us, it's a lot easier to just like we're always calling out whenever we see other ships and stuff, and sort of giving them a wide berth, or sort of better learning how to read what their intentions might be. It still happens occasionally. Like, we were fucked off the other day. We were heading towards there's like these big sort of. You know, world events. So you'll see an island with like a big fucking red vortex swirling over it or whatever. And that means there's like a boss there that everyone can sort of team up and kill together and get a load of loot. So we saw one of those and we saw another ship heading for it. So we're like, oh, cool, they're doing the event. Let's go and help them out. So we approached and like got the old megaphone out and we're just like, yeah, we're here to help. Like, don't worry about it. And they just turn around and start shooting at us.
Excellent.
And you're just
brilliant.
Like, for fuck's sake.
That. Bento.
And it's like, well, you're just idiots, like, because we had nothing on the boat. So it's like the time they spent destroying us, we could have just worked together on the event and got way more stuff out of it. Do you know what I mean?
So you sound like such a nerd. Listen, you're stupid. If we work together, it benefits all of us. And they're like fucking bothering you.
Why does that make me a nerd?
You can put your megaphone away. I'm very pro that. I'm very pro it.
Yeah, it's shit, yeah. Isn't it, being nice to people and cooperating? Anyway.
You do know your plan on the internet, right? You do know your plan on the internet.
But you do meet nice people, and it's proper good when you do. We met a guy the other night, and he basically offered
to
like.
Can you take that sentiment to Twitter, please, and start saying, "Everyone, just calm down. If we all get on, it will be a much nicer place for us to be."
Jolly cooperation.
Oh, I've upset you.
No, I just lost all my enthusiasm to carry on talking.
Thank God for that. Right. That's Sea of Thieves. What's that available on? Is it Xbox? Is
it's
it?
Available on the Xbox. PC? It's the next generation game available for the Xbox Series S.
Fucking hell. They're a rarity. They are a rarity. And when they do come out, James plays something else. Right. Should we get on to the messages this week?
Yeah. If you want to send us a question, visit tcgs.co/dearTCGS. Big Boss's right eye. Says, evening, fellas. Long-time listener, first-time question asker, as I've never had a hard-hitting Jeremy Paxman-like question before, but now I finally have such a question. So, if you could speak with and understand them, would you rather land animals, sea life, or birds?
Land animals.
What? If we could... Sorry, if we could speak to them and stuff?
Yeah, if you could communicate with the type of animal...
Giraffe.
No, well, that's land animals. You don't have to specify
land animals.
Yeah, land animals,
because that includes giraffe.
Okay.
There's no point speaking to any of the others. Oh, it's wet. Brilliant, mate. Oh, it's high up here. Yeah, great. Nice one. Parrot. I don't care.
But isn't that what giraffes
are? No, giraffes are just going to be like, fuck you. And I'm going to be like, yeah. Yeah. Really? What are your thoughts on this current situation? Don't give a fuck, mate. Great. Brilliant. Where are you going now? Just fucking wandering about. Mind your own business. You are the best animals on the face of the planet, you beautiful bastards. That's it. That's it. Giraffes. Just so that they can tell me how shit everything is and how they don't want to talk to me. I'll take that. That's definitely what they'd be like as well. I love giraffes. They're the best. Sean, what's your answer?
Birds.
Why? Oh, you've always wanted to chat to birds, haven't you? Never had the confidence.
Oh, I see. Matt, he only does this when you're on.
It's true. It's true.
Me?
Actually,
How is this my fault?
It's not your fault. Matt. I think you being here gives him the confidence.
It's not. He feels he has to show off, is what it is.
All that, yeah.
No, it's just I know I'll get a laugh out of Matt. You two will be like, ooh.
He does it for my approval.
Ooh, just beneath me, that sort of gag. And then the mics go off and you're worse. I'm joking. So birds, what would you ask them, Sean?
What's it like flying?
The cars.
What's it like stealing some fucker's chips? I bet that's great.
Actually, yeah, seagulls are bastards as well, aren't they?
Yeah,
they'd have some stories.
Yeah, pigeons.
They'd have some stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Pigeons. How many necks have you broken, Mr. Swan?
Yeah, arms, isn't it?
Here's a question. Alligator, what do we do?
Oh, shit.
Penguin. Penguin?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Technically, yeah, they're land animals, aren't they? They're not sea... Well, does sea life... No, because sea life can include...
Scientifically, they're birds, right?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, but they can't fly.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
so oh, God.
That would be in the bird category.
God, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, who cares?
Jesus Christ.
Who cares? James Farley, what is he? Is he a land animal? Is he a bird? Is he a...
Sea
what
life.
Is he?
I think Farley's a sea life guy. I think Farley's a sea life guy for sure. I can see James
so
just
many questions.
Hanging out
James,
with like a manatee.
What's your answer?
I would have said land animals, but I'm going to go for sea life. I'm going to go for an octopus.
Why?
Yes,
what
mate.
Would you ask an octopus?
Do you think you could fight a shark?
That's the best answer I've ever Matt?
I mean, I'm definitely going to sea life, but just
why?
To say, you know, what's up and down here?
Yeah, what's it like
not
all
much,
the way
mate.
At the bottom?
Yeah. No. What is happening down here? Like, will we know anything about what's out under the water? Like, let me know. What's the
we know a
what's,
fair bit.
What's down there?
We know a bit.
No. Well, we know more about space than we do in the deepest part of the ocean.
I mean, hold on. How are you going to ask the things at the deepest part of the ocean these questions?
You need a relay system.
Well, I'll say, it says sea life, so I'll say just, are you one of the deep sea ones? No, get me one that's deep sea.
We don't go down there.
And they can't come up.
Well, no, we don't.
The fish is just like, no, we can't go down there because the pressure will kill us.
And, like, and the things that are down there can't come up.
I'm sure, but for the same reason. One of you, you know someone who can go down there. Go down there and find out for me.
We can't, Matt. You've wasted your wish.
No, one of you
You just
does.
Need like a chain.
Right, I've seen it on...
You need a chain of communication.
I'm a starfish. I can barely move.
More you then, ask your mate. I've seen something on YouTube. One of you can get down there.
We haven't got the internet.
One of you idiots can get down there. I swear to God.
Imagine if you got to chat to like a...
One of you, you or Nemo, just get down there.
Imagine if you got to chat to like a pilot fish and he's just like, everyone just fucking runs away when they see me. It's shit. Hate it. Hate being a pilot fish.
I have to think about that. Yeah. You know people that like work in like fish shops, not like fish and chip shops, like fish shops.
I know that's not what you meant because that's not what you said, Dave. You didn't need to
hang on.
Clarify.
Like, what do you mean fish shops? Do you mean aquariums or do you mean like tackle shops?
No, I don't. I mean neither of those. I mean like the fish bit in a garden centre.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Yeah. Best bit. It's the fish bit.
Right, okay.
The fish bit in the garden.
So
center.
It's not a tackle shop, is it? They're not sending. you know the fish bit in Y Vowels or whatever?
An aquarium, isn't it?
I think it might be. Is it? But what if you go to the wrong aquarium and you're just like, oh, I want to buy that one. I'm sorry, this is sea life, sir. They're not for sale.
Yeah, yeah. It's Blue Planet, mate. What are you doing?
You're an aquarium, and the other ones are cool. That bit in the Y Vowel center is the aquarium. So,
yeah. I think aquarium is a location. Because I just
Which
had a look. And
do you want?
Pets at home have aquariums, but they don't have an aquarium section, I don't think.
No, hold on. Yeah, but you can buy aquariums. They're just the tanks, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
anyway, why are we discussing this? This is
yeah, what was I saying?
Anyway, the answer is sea life.
Sorry. So, hang on. No, I've just checked. So, at pets at home, it's the aquatic section.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
The aquatic section. Why did I bring that up? I can't even remember why I brought that up.
Probably doesn't matter at this point.
I assume you're going to go and ask someone a question.
I might do. I might do, Matt. I might do that tomorrow. Next question.
Good. I'll see you there.
Simon Blood.
Matt, you completely wasted that. What's down there? We don't know. We'll find out. We can't.
No, but that's a valid question. I want to know more about the ocean. And those guys know.
They don't.
They cost like
what's David Attenborough?
They know more. They're down there.
I wonder how many of those would say, oh, I've met David Attenborough. He come down here with his camera.
Yeah. Bit of a wanker, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Interfering.
What's he like? Just, I don't know, he's a bit creepy. He just films
it's
us.
Annoying.
Like, it's
yeah.
Really
yeah, constantly. We're trying to do it, and David Attenborough's here with cameras in us.
He's a pervert.
It's disgusting.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder if working in an aquatic centre, is that right?
Yes, nailed it.
Fish shop.
How frustrated you get with families walking around and going, oh, look, it's Nemo, look, it's Nemo. Like, do you get to the point where, because you must hear that 400 times a day.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Do you get to a point where you just go, it's not Nemo, that's the name of a character from Thing. That is a clownfish, and they're very expensive and very delicate. Please stop calling them Nemo.
Well,
I bet they fucking hate that.
Instead.
If I need Tetra, 50% of them will die. But...
Do you think they sort of, you know, to not upset the kids and meet them halfway, they're like, look, Finding Nemo is a documentary, but that's about a specific clownfish, not this one in this tank. This one isn't
not
Nemo.
One.
He is real, but this isn't him.
What are you gonna call it? Oh, Nemo? Yeah. Okay. Just get out of my shop.
Yeah, if I owned an aquatic section of a shop, I would also have a sign saying no dads are allowed to say, oh, look, we found him.
I did that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I bet you fucking did.
Of course I did. Oh, God, okay, all right. Go on.
Simon Blood says, hi, chaps. Back at the beginning of December, it was my son's 8th birthday. As much as he was excited for his presents and such, he was much more excited for something else in his world, something huge, because his birthday was also the day of the latest Fortnite event. He'd been counting the days, watching his favourite YouTube channels, waiting for the day Galactus rose from the ocean. He was all logged into his lobby hours before the start, as advised, waiting for it to begin, when, 15 minutes before commencement, he was kicked from the lobby. He rebooted. He rebooted, but he couldn't get back in. Hot tears rolling down his face. I was enraged, my mind racing, wondering how to get the address of the head of Epic Games. Anyway, my question is there anything that has made you regret getting your kids into games? P.S. I managed to log him into my PS4 5 minutes before it started, so it all turned out okay. His little face lit up. It was amazing. Regards, Simon. Isaac's not really into games yet. He enjoys watching me play stuff, so I can't really... I don't know.
My one was before I created... Because it's quite a process creating an Xbox Live... Mm-hmm. And an Xbox profile your kid. Right, it is a process. They need the email, they need the unique gamer tag and all that sort of stuff. It's a bit of a ball ache, so I put it off for a while. But the regret that I had was him playing FIFA, discovering FIFA and playing FIFA. And he would play FIFA every single day. And I would play it in the evening with my mates. And it would always go like this. The game would start. I'd try to, do a cross field pass or whatever, mm-hmm. and I would shoot at the goal. And he's changed back to default controls, because I'm of an era where the controls were completely different, and I haven't been able to break away from that. So I have to change the controls to custom controls. And Harry just used to switch them back, and it used to infuriate me because it meant I had to turn around to all my mates and go, Can we pause? I need to change my controls. Everyone would be sighing. Just set him up with a profile. I can't be bothered. So that was my regret. Definitely.
I can't think of any. I can't really think of anything that I really...
You just buy them in their own system, don't you, to avoid this?
Mostly, yeah.
That's what you do.
It does solve a lot of problems. But then you get other ones with the whole, screen time stuff and all that.
Are they playing any of your new consoles?
Yeah, Ash is playing Spider-Man, actually, at the moment. And he's loving that. We're playing it together, really, because, there's some bits, they're a bit difficult and stuff. But, yeah, he's enjoying that.
Yeah, he's a bit Holworth. And what about the Xbox? Have they tried anything on that?
Some Minecraft.
You won't let them near it.
No, because they both really love Minecraft. That's the main. I mean, the main thing that Rachel plays is Minecraft. She plays it all the time at the moment, particularly with her friends. Like once they finish like schoolwork and stuff, they're just on that for like quite a lot of time. Because it's great.
I'm assuming the loading's no better on the new machines with Minecraft, though, right?
No, that's the thing. Because
it's all server based loading.
I thought that it would load faster on the Series S, but it doesn't. It's still it's still low. It's still slow.
Because it's pulling it all down from a server rather than loading the assets from the game content, right?
Yeah, but they also play on Switch as well, and the Switch version of Minecraft is not good. Like, there's a lot of problems with it. And it's it still works, as in you have like a Microsoft account that you sign in with, but it has this really annoying tendency to just log you out all the time, like from your Microsoft account thing, and then you have to go through the whole rigmarole of like, oh, I've got to sign in and all that kind of thing, and it's a big pain. But they sometimes play that on Xbox as well, because obviously the profile carries over and stuff. But
Talking about this stuff, I'm gonna just put a this is the most self-absorbed thing that I've ever done on this podcast, but I need to know the answer. If anyone knows the answer to this, please let me know. So Harry now has his own gamer tag, right? He's got his own profile, but when he plays FIFA, whenever he goes back to a menu, like to the main menu, so say he goes in to change some settings and he goes back to the main menu, it shows him the splash screen of stuff, the updates, every single time. So if he goes into Volta or whatever and goes, actually, I don't want to play Volta, I want to play a normal game, he presses B, goes back to the main menu, it shows all the news at the start again, and you have to wait, click A to go to the next one, click A to go to the next one, and then you're in it again. And then when he finishes a match, it goes to the main menu, click A to read the news that he's just read again. It's really annoying. So if anyone knows how to get me over that, that will save me a hell of a lot of frustration, because it's pissing me right off. So that was just a personal thing. I've Googled it. I can't find the answer. So if anyone knows. Right. Okay. Is that, I guess?
That is that. Nimrod Hicks.
says, given that Turner and Bell are a UK-based company specialising in leather dog collars, what product would Murray and Farley sell?
Oh, God.
I mean, I've already got the Rusk market sewn up, so I don't need to...
That's true.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling it would be, like, a really shit pointless bit of tech. Do you know what I mean? Like, something...
I don't know.
That sounds great.
Like an iPhone case. So not a bit of tech, really, but an iPhone case where you could put your car key in the top or something. And that it would be something like that. But it would have a really good name because Matt's doing all the marketing for it. James is barely involved. He chucked the initial idea out there and then washed his hands of the whole thing.
See, I think Murray and Farley sounds quite sort of rustic. I think they make, like, rifles or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. Based on the names, not their personality. Murray and Farley's like a vitamin supplement supplier, isn't it?
I'd take that.
That's what that'd be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like baby food or something like that.
No. Murray and Farley, it'd be like
Farley's
nuts.
Rusks.
It'd be like mixed nuts. Yeah. In Holland and Barrett.
Little snack bags of nuts and
shit.
Yeah. Chickpeas. Dried chickpeas.
But what about Farley and Murray? That's a PI
organisation.
Yeah.
A legal firm
or
something. Yeah.
It's funny how you switch it around. Farley and Murray is definitely solving crimes. Murray and Farley is definitely selling nuts.
Which would be worse.
Is it because Farley sounds a bit like barley? That's what it is, isn't it? That's where my mind's going.
Yeah.
That's definitely it.
Yeah.
Okay, Farley and Murray on the case. What's been happening, boys? If you look, actually, the glass is on the inside, which means that the window's been broken from outside. Goodbye.
Case closed.
A little bit of knowledge there, yeah? A little bit of detective. That's why we think differently to you people. If you look here, the blood is actually dripped down the wall from this position, so they were already dead when they were shot. Anyway, Farley, get your coat. We've cracked it. I've taken it off. Right, go on.
Right, last one. Maria Mendieta says, dear TCGS collision detectors, you often mention that your partners are not into video games. What would your gaming lives or schedules be like if they became bigger gamers than yourselves? I can just picture James's wife playing shooty bang games on the new Apple VR headset while he shadows her with his Labo VR kit.
I've thought about this a lot, whether I would be... whether it would be a good thing for Joe to be into games or not.
Mm.
Because on one hand, it'd be wicked to just play games with Joe. Like, just to have, like, a couch co-op partner just there.
Yeah.
And play games and stuff. That'd be great. But at the same time, if she's, like, on an Xbox or whatever, or she's playing a game that I was really excited for and she's further into the game and then I catch glimpses of it, I'll be furious.
Yeah. Something story-based, you're fucked, aren't you?
Yeah.
Or when it gets to 10 o'clock, and you're like, oh, brilliant. Oh, no, I can't because the TV being used.
Well, you would presumably just have another TV, wouldn't you? And then you'd just hook up
or a Switch.
Live.
I guess you'd be, I've seen that, and I'm like, well,
do you remember when we did that, James, when you come down to mine and we were like, let's play some Xbox Live games and we put two TVs next to each other. And just
I have done that. It's
sat
great.
Next to each
it's
other.
Proper good.
What was that? That was Bulletstorm, I think.
We played that. We also played Dead or Alive that way as well for some reason. I don't know why.
Which is, no, we were playing two different versions of Dead or Alive
that
at the same time.
Yeah. Noting differences.
No need for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely no need to do that.
I mean, because when Nu has had phases of getting into stuff in the past, so like she went in hard on Stardew Valley, and for some reason, what was the one in Tokyo with the animals? What was it called? Can't remember. It's on the PS3.
Tokyo Jungle?
Yes, Tokyo Jungle. Yeah. She fucking loved that for some reason. Don't know why that was, I don't know. So there's just been certain games that she's absolutely loved and then just not really bothered outside of that. I mean, she's not, like, anti them or anything. She just doesn't have the time or the energy. So I think the main change would be that she would probably have a very different job that doesn't leave her absolutely exhausted most evenings. But, like I say, it would be cool to, like,
have someone to play like local stuff with.
When it has happened, it's been brilliant. Like when she's been playing Mario Kart with Harry as well, you know, when we play free player Mario Kart, that's fantastic. She really got into Zookeeper back in the day.
Oh yeah.
And
we
used to play that against each other all the time and that was really good fun. When it has happened, it's been fantastic. So nothing indicates that it would be horrible if she was properly into games.
It's been strange as well because like she's like obviously, you know, like most people, not able to see any of her friends at the moment. And obviously doing the show and like, you know, Sea of Thieves and stuff has been like a massive lifeline. And like the other week she mentioned that like her best mate has like admitted that she's just like just out of sheer fucking boredom, she bought herself a PS4 and she's like getting well into Uncharted and stuff, and she's like never played games before. And I just said to Nu, like, look, if you wanted to play stuff with her online, like, we can facilitate that. It's really not a problem. But she's, I don't know, yeah, she's like, nah, I don't know, don't fancy it.
What about that? What about those moments, right, when you're playing an online game and then one of your close friends comes online and sends you a party invite and you're like, I don't want to leave this game to go and play that other game. Like, and... I know you don't like this game, and this is really awkward now because I don't want to leave this party to go into your party to say, I don't want to play that, I'm playing this one, and then jump back into that. But imagine it's your wife. That makes it even worse, right? or flip it around, and she's set herself to appear offline. Like, sure, Joe's playing it. And then you go in there, and like, she's in a party chat with all your mates. And you're like, hold on. I'm in the menus. Okay. Then you can hear them all laughing through the headset.
We're cracking up over here. Everyone said they were busy tonight.
Yeah. But everyone's offline, Joe. How are you? Oh.
They're in the... You're playing together. Is that my character? Is that my save?
It can be really obvious in on Xbox as well. Because if someone's appearing offline and they're in a party, right, and you go and one of your friends isn't offline, you go and see who's in the party. Like, it tells you who's in the Xbox party before you join. And anyone that's appearing offline comes up anonymous. And you're going, right, okay, I get it. I'm not welcome at the moment. That's fine. The one person that hasn't got theirs to set offline, right, is clearly getting bollocked at the moment because it's come up. Drunken Elmo's online. Oh, you're all offline, right? Yeah. Oh, I'm not. Oh, shit. Oh, no, you can't do it now because they'll know. I had a feeling that happened last night. I'm paranoid about it. Right,
I was going to say, I mean, that was funny, but also feel a bit sad for you, Dave, that your
I'm
own friends
it.
Hate
Don't
you.
Be sad. I'm all right. I mean, can't blame them. Like, it's one of those situations where don't feel sorry for me. I deserve it.
All right. Like,
sometimes, I think I'm at the age where if I found out that everyone was like hated playing FIFA with me or Rocket League with me or whatever, and they were actively setting themselves offline to not play with me, I'd go, yeah, I get it. That's fine. Just let me know if you want to play something else. Like, it just doesn't bother me anymore. It's just fully understandable, Sean, is what I'm saying.
No.
Oh, God. We had that awkward situation the other night, didn't we?
Oh, you invited me to play Rocket League?
Yeah, I was meant to invite John, but I accidentally invited you to Rocket League, and I thought...
Imagine if I'd been like, I was going to join you.
I just wanted to slice through the bullshit, because we haven't spoken about this since I sent you that text, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just wanted to slice through the bullshit, because I didn't want you to think... Oh, Dave's invited me to play Rocket League. Oh, I should probably.
I assumed Rocket it was a mistake. League, don't worry.
Yeah, so I just sent a text saying that invite weren't for you. Don't worry about it. It's like, all right, that seems a bit cold or whatever.
I think, like,
sure you'll be all right with that.
Like, if I'd just been playing like some single player thing and he invited me, I might have thought like, oh shit, is this real? But because I was playing Sea of Thieves, I thought, well, you wouldn't just think, oh yeah, he'll bin that off to come and play Rocket League that he hasn't played in 2 years. That'd be.
Yeah, well, we both read the situation well. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's like, you know, like whenever you ever get like a group voice call on WhatsApp and you're just like, I'm not answering that because that's definitely a mistake. No one ever does that on purpose.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of those, haven't we, recently, where they keep happening and it's like, it's definitely a mistake. No one's going to do that.
And it gets, and for a while, people be like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And now no one even says anything now.
Yeah.
What's the point? Everyone knows.
What do you mean we've had a couple of those?
Couple of those in the TCS group because Matt started them by accident.
Are you sure?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you sure this isn't an alternative group that doesn't involve me? Because I haven't had one of these.
I also haven't witnessed Matt doing this. So.
Oh, dear.
I'm sure you
have. No, James, I did accidentally ring you the other day.
You did, yeah, that's true.
But that was a...
I'm sure you've done that recently in our TCS group. I can't even speak.
In our TCGS just group. It's time to end the show.
What's 11?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's time to end the show. Matt, do you want to do the socials?
Actually, I'm going to have to say, first of all, James, you absolutely nailed the socials last week. I'm thinking now I don't need to do this. I think you should just do it.
Should we let him do it again?
No, I don't want to do it again.
Yeah, it was so good, James.
All right, go on then, James.
I don't want to
do it
again.
Socials?
I don't want to do it again. It was a one-off.
No, you did such a good job of it.
Yeah, you really did.
All right.
Okay. James, what are the socials?
Okay, as usual, we do appreciate the feedback and the questions that we get from you. And if you'd like to contact us, you can at tcgs.co/dearTCGS. Or you can contact us on Twitter at tcgs.co. We also have a Patreon. And we...
what? At tcgs.co.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
We also have a Patreon, and we do genuinely really appreciate people that subscribe to that. It means a lot. And if you've got Amazon Prime, then you've also got Twitch Prime, and we'd really appreciate your free sub. So if you can do that on the Twitch site, I don't know what's the streaming situation this week. Sean, are you doing this on Thursday?
Yeah, so we should be back to normal. I had to skip last week because on Thursday night Isaac didn't fucking fall asleep until about 9:05. And I was like, I'm not recovering from this and then doing a stream. So, yeah, so this Thursday I'll definitely be playing Chicken Police.
Okay. I'm going to pop up at some point, I think, and play that Sega game that... Not Sega game, that,
yes.
That Balan, whatever.
It's a bit useless, isn't it?
You know, like, at
yeah,
some point.
Yeah, do Balan, yeah.
I might play that. But I'm also going to be back on Friday to hopefully finish Little Hope, although I've got to play all the stuff that I played the week before offline and I just can't bring myself to do it. But... it will happen. I'll be back on Friday for that at 9:00, but that'll be on YouTube. Dave, are you going to be fishing again?
I might do. It was really good on Sunday night. We had a right old laugh. So, but someone come in that knows the game. They didn't know us. They knew the game. And they said, oh, I've got a few tips for you. And they said, do you know that you can set 3 rods down and fish like that? I was like, right, we're doing that. So we did that. I caught 6 or 7 fish. I think it was 6, actually, which was a new record. And but then the person took it a little bit too far and they said, give me your gamer tag, I'll jump into an Xbox Live party with you and then I can explain a few of the things. And I just thought, I was really bad actually, because I just went, no, we're not doing that. right. And they soon left. I can't be. But yeah, I might do some more fishing. I really enjoyed it Sunday night. It was really good.
Cool. So you might be back on Sunday. And for everything else,
Please
visit our website at tcgs.co.
Didn't go smoothly this time, but
that was still pretty good. Good.
There was a couple of couple of curveballs.
Until you went
and stuff.
tcgs.co.
Co.
you were upset that was our domain.
I'm fine with that domain. I've made peace with that now. It's okay.
You made peace with it?
Yeah.
You weren't at peace with it?
Oh, it's fine, isn't it? It's just there was that whole rebranding thing, weren't there? I don't want to get into that again. Come on, it's like 11:30.
Okay. Cool, Matt. Right, we will catch you next week for another thrilling episode of TCGS. What's Sean going to do on Sea of Thieves next week? Find out by tuning in next Wednesday. And
the last 2 weeks of it, weeks, I've not talked about it because I know it's there's nothing new to say. There's a new expansion for it. Fuck off.
Thanks for living it. We'll catch you next week. We love you all. Goodbye. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
How's your willy, James?
There was a bit of weirdness. Because I tried to do it too quickly, I was actually frantically trying to get tissues to tidy it up.
Awkward.